Hey, what's poppin', people? We're live in the DealsNitty.com studios, the Drew and Mike Show. For Friday, taking you to the weekend with Drew and Mark and Trudy. Zeus Kennedy is here. And
we're lucky, though.
We're lucky?
Guys, for some reason, there's a dragnet around your house.
Oh, I know. I got pulled over yesterday. I was actually getting out of my car in the driveway, and this cop goes, stay in the car, please. Oh. I didn't even know there's a cop behind me with his lights on.
Oh, nice awareness.
Well, I was trying to get back to the podcast. I was in a hurry.
Freeze! Did you tell that to the officer?
Yes. Huh. Which enabled me to bring up the show, which I think got me a warning. They're busting people for turning left before the school's... Well, I think it's before the school zone. Apparently, it's not. There's a sign there. Uh-huh. It's the weirdest no left turn thing. It's 3 to 7 p.m.
Yeah.
The school lets out for about 20 minutes. It is a cluster bleep.
Yes.
But sucks, too, is that whole road is closed, too. So if you're trying to drive through off Woodward...
The next road
Pleasant
is closed.
Ridge,
yeah, it's a really odd kind of a thing.
Oh, and your neighbor across the street says they're about to, like, shut this all down.
Oh, really? Yeah. They shut it down 2 years ago. Remember that?
Yes.
Shut what
couldn't
down?
Get in. You couldn't, get in this, yeah. couldn't get in this road from...
He says they're going to pave it, and he goes, so just heads up.
By the way, I mean to ask Daryl across the street.
Yeah,
yeah, he's great.
Daryl's been working his yard. Daryl's a great guy. I meant to ask him the other day, every time power goes out here, they always have their power over there. And they're just beaming with lights. It's like they turn every light on just to show off.
You should.
But I wonder if there's a history of that. He's lived there a long time. I've got to ask him.
Daryl's
just
really
ask the guy
fun.
That used to live here.
Oh, that guy, too.
I don't trust that guy. He's keeping an eye on the house. I don't want to give him any information. Not getting those lion seats, that's for sure.
You know what I did get? The Lane Bryant catalog out of my neighbor's mailbox. Thank you very much.
I'm going to put the seats even closer, closer to the street so he has to look at them. Kennedy and I are recovering from a mortal sin last night. I don't know how her hearing is, but wow, they were loud. Tony Z rocked. That is a hard rocking band.
Yeah.
They're very good. A couple guys, I couldn't get over how young they were. Like 20, 21.
Yes. Really?
But they, the two guys are waiting for them to finish school.
Oh, that's right.
Before they can really tour. But they are going to Europe.
That's amazing.
Oh, it's pretty cool. He hosted some Swedish band who was playing in Denver. For some reason, and they became buds, and the next thing you know...
Nice networking, Tony Z.
Yeah, Sin is going to Europe! And they're playing some pretty interesting places, but...
A lot of us came from the European Union, different countries, right?
Soft Magazine covered it.
I saw that.
I'm sure there's some important additions that are out regarding... Patty Poe was there.
Uh-huh.
The Delio brothers, I think it might have been the STP guys. I'm not sure.
Oh, Dean and Robert?
Yeah, I think it was those guys.
Wow.
And they were really wasted.
Come on, Patty!
I was delighted that they were Ubering home. I was somewhat concerned. I think Kennedy knows what I'm talking about.
Ooh, and Patty's so moist. Come on, Patty!
And Cecil, yeah, come on, Patty. Cecil came in from Emmett. It's like a... I want to say it.
It's way up
90
there.
Minute drive. Yeah, it's a town of 200.
I know. It's my my family name, my last, on my mom's side.
Is that right?
Oh. Is the city named after them?
Well, they're from that part of
really?
Michigan. So
well, maybe
I
it is.
Probably not. Hmm. But.
That's a nice place.
Anyway, Cecil was telling me that there's only 200 people in Emmett. There's a 7-Eleven and a strip club.
What else do you need?
Nice.
No, that's what I said. And Brandon said, oh, did you meet the guy from Emmett? I said, yeah, it's a really small town. He goes, yeah, there's just a strip club called Bisco's.
Bisco's?
Yeah.
Really?
But Brandon knew the name of the strip club. I thought that was interesting. I wonder if he'll have something to say about Jimmy Garoppolo's date at the ESPYs last night.
Yeah, hubba hubba. I don't think they went to the ESPYs. I think they were just out and about.
Oh, okay. It's funny. There's a lot of conversation about that today. Is that a big deal, an NFL quarterback dating a porn star?
Who cares?
She was very much dressed like a porn star.
Good for
too.
Her.
Really?
Yeah. Big boobs.
But you know, for what the 49ers pay him, I don't know. It's kind of
what?
Maybe they're on
I don't
love
care if he dates a porn star. I just
wonder what he wants.
I suspect the 49ers are probably not crazy about it. I mean, they're not. What are they going to do? Tell him not to?
Oh, boo-hoo. Yeah,
sure. Oh, that feels nice.
Well, she's in entertainment.
Would you want your quarterback dating a porn star if you own an NFL team?
If he wins.
Does he take a knee before the game?
Not that I know of.
But he's fine.
You know they play quarterback center all the time.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they do. People love that game. It's very underrated.
One of the best games, quarterback center, as long as you're the quarterback.
Yeah. I saw.
Unless you want to be the center.
Oh, true. I think she wants to be the center. I think she's fine with that.
Really?
The ESPYs, by the way.
She be the center. She's snapping the ball.
Yeah, I think she wants to snap the ball.
I got it.
The ESPYs last night, by the way, I only caught a little bit of it. I saw Jim
Kelly.
Jim Kelly getting the Jimmy V Award. That was really fantastic. Yeah. However, the rest of it, just every bit they did, oh my God, was it dying on the vine. I felt
Welcome
sorry for
to the 2018 ESPY Awards, everybody. You excited?
Why is a race car driver the host?
And it's true.
Because they wanted a female.
The ESPYs have never had a host like me before. Mm-hmm. As you can see, I'm their first race car driver. So obvious.
What are you laughing at?
For the last 25 years, the ESPYs have been about celebrating the magic of sports. No matter what else is going on in the world, sports have always had the power to inspire and give hope. Unless those people are from Cleveland.
This is really painful.
I've been coming to the ESPYs for many years, and when hosts have singled me out on a joke, I know it's a sign of great respect. And I can't wait to show that same respect to so many of you tonight.
Ooh.
World Series champion Jose Altuve is here.
Oh, my God. This joke is so bad.
Oh, boy. It already hurts.
And when I say it's incredible that Jose can reach the top of his profession without being able to reach the top shelf of his locker.
Because he's short.
It's out of respect. We have lots of NFL stars with us tonight. Nick Foles and the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles are here. NFL Offensive Player of the Year Todd Gurley's here.
But where's the joke?
And Odell Beckham Jr. is here tonight.
Oh, this joke's even worse. Just when you think it can't get worse.
Odell is once again healthy and will return to the field next season. But his hairstyle is still listed as questionable.
Wow. She worked a long time on those jokes.
Hockey's Las Vegas Golden Knights.
She had a political. Did you hear a political joke?
I did not.
Let's see if I can find it.
Twitter was just aghast over this.
Here you go.
Couldn't be any happier.
Ovechkin. In the Capitals.
I haven't seen a Russian this pleased with Washington since, 2 days ago.
Oh, the crowd liked that.
Wow.
Just polite clapping.
That's great.
Oh, boy. Caitlyn Jenner, did you see her hot date?
Yeah.
She had this 21-year-old, this gorgeous, gorgeous woman. Why would a 21-year-old date a 68-year-old Bruce Jenner?
Would you date her?
The 21-year-old?
Yeah.
A little young for me.
She's also trans.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's,
really?
That's,
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Is that what it's all about?
It's the most confusing relationship. I can never keep track of what's going on
I can't either.
I thought she was. I
21-year-old
could be totally
wrong. Is a male transitioning to a female.
I thought so, yeah.
Okay. She was pretty.
Sophia Hutchins.
I was more interested in the age difference. 47 years is a lot.
Oh, boy.
A long time.
Yeah.
Over double the age of the 21-year-old. She looked like an attractive female to me.
Well, maybe Caitlin only dates people who can't remember when she was Bruce.
I guess we have no right to ask, but I am intrigued by Bruce Jenner seemed to have no lack of interest in his female partners from what I've read.
Right.
Not that I want to read all about that. So I didn't know, would he be interested in dudes as a woman? Or it didn't seem like he was interested in dudes.
Didn't he answer that
question? That is a dude.
I can't remember what he said. But
I don't remember what he said either. She
must be so bummed at that at her girlfriend because that transition looks a lot more like a woman.
I would have to agree with that.
I'd be a little bit jealous.
Oh, there was the weirdest story.
Being Bruce isn't easy.
It's the weirdest story today. Where is that?
Her voice. Caitlin's voice is still Bruce's voice. Hands and feet, huge. Just
6 foot two, three. Yeah. There was a story about parents raising kids as babies, not babies. They don't reveal the gender to anyone, including the children themselves.
What? Why?
Because they, yes, it is real. They want them to decide what they want them to naturally come to their sexuality, not based on their genitals.
Oh, for God's sake.
And they were, they said that they were, their friends were
creeped out by it.
Yeah, were creeped out and were bugging them. Come on, come on, tell, is it a boy or a girl? And they said they thought they're. These people were creepy for being so concerned about what genitalia their children have. Like they really want to see their genitals. No, they just want to know if it's a fucking boy or a girl, okay? They're just being nice. Get over it. Stupid. You're being vape.
Is that me?
Whoa, what was that?
Try it again.
Testing.
What?
Oh.
Oh.
No. Try it again.
All set.
Okay.
More in T-minus 4 minutes.
Oh, yes. More to the Crimster coming up. Man. That was a very funny Detroiters, I have to say, even though they've completely blown us out. The show still seems to be okay without us.
Maybe this is our wedge to get in.
I doubt it.
We know this guy.
I love that show. I queued up a scene, Brandon, before you close all that.
Our friends and studio sponsors at Zot Ford and DealsandAD.com are excited to announce the first ever Take Maz to the Top listener contest. The rules are simple. Only one. We have to help Maz win Salesperson of the Month in July. It's Zot Ford. That means Maz needs all of you to buy or lease a newer pre-owned car, truck, or SUV from Zot Ford this month. If, and that's a big if, Maz wins Salesperson of the Month in July, we will draw one lucky listener who bought from Maz. They'll get to be live in the DealsAndAD.com studio during a podcast. There's no more coveted prize than being invited into this basement to hang with this group and witness the show in person. And their bids to prove that. We had amazing bids the last time. I don't quite get it, but people seem very happy about it. So stop delaying and dilly-dally and go see Maz. Help him be victorious. Earn a chance to win this ridiculous prize. And then there are you growers, caregivers. With most hydro stores across the state scaling back or closing, one store is growing and expanding. That's GrowGreen, MI, because GrowGreen buys in bulk and passes the savings on to you, the grower. Whether you're a large commercial grower or hobbyist, the staff will give you the knowledge and products to make your grow and produce bigger, tastier, and more plentiful crops. They've got 75,000 square feet, and it allows them to provide the best prices in the state, period. Insane deals, bags of Ocean Forest for $10, gallon of Bud Candy for $70, world-famous 1,000-watt Hortolux bulbs for $65. They also clean, service, rent, and sell trimmers from Twister, Triminator, Green Bros. So quit trimming by hand, save time, save money, keep your spot on the down low.
And that green thing today was enough.
Shop online at growgreenmi.com, where your order will ship for free in a matter of hours in a totally discreet package. Mm-hmm. GrowGreen MI, the world's largest hydro store, M36 in Whitmore Lake.
Green, 16, set, hot, hot.
There you go. And we're starting our, we're doing Zorona treatments with Dr. Oshabin. The 9 free treatments for the 9 paid treatments. You and your friend, you and your rich friend, hopefully giving you free treatments. Also, what's the other one? Body Tight. Yeah, Body Tight. $250 off. Body Tight arms, Body Tight face, Body Tight neck, Body Tight stomach. Whatever it is you need, they will do it. And they're doing boobs, always boobs, and lipo. They're doing surgeries, like 7-8 surgeries a week over there.
I'm going to show you my body.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the millennials that are wanting their selfies look better or who it is. Seems to be everybody.
That is part of it. That is a significant part of it. The other, it's a good investment. You know,
great.
Look better, feel better about yourself, take care of yourself.
So. Well, those social media pictures are so important.
Yes.
But, we talked about the hair removal, the laser for that, which is so much better than it used to be. And that gets a lot of business. Also, the tattoo removal.
Tats.
Seems to be a lot of people unhappy with their tats and... Might take a few treatments, but they get it done, and they've been busy, busy, busy. So whether it's Body Tight, if you're looking for the special on that, $250 off, or the Zorona, 9 free for 9 regular treatments. There you go. The offices of Dr. Roche. Call for a consult, 248-338-1110. If it's something you want to improve your appearance, you know, the fillers, the Botox, they do it all. So call for a consult or go to D-R-R-O-C-H-E. And it's just about time.
Have we powered up?
For Mr. Yeah. Mort Krimley.
Powered up.
Go for it.
Hall Financial Hotline's open. Click the link and let Hall Financial crunch numbers for you. And also you check on the Hall Financial Classic if you're looking to play golf on the 30th of July. And I'm pissing off the neighbors. Whether home going on board. Is this Detroiters theme?
Yeah.
Calling former WDIV anchor Mort Krim, who's become really pretty
he's God.
Star. He's it's a great episode.
Hello.
Hey, Mort, it's the Drew and Mike Show.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Hi, Mort.
That's Trudy.
Hello.
And Mark's here, too.
Hey, Mort. How are you?
Are we on the air?
Yep.
We can if you want to be.
I'm ready when you are.
Great. We just watched the episode, by the way, which is entitled Mort Krim. Boy, this is really getting to be quite a relationship between you and these guys.
It was a lot of fun to shoot. We're in our motorhome. I just finished hooking up the sewer line and getting the water and the cable TV and everything hooked up. There's a lot. When you're a mobile homeowner, there's a lot that goes with it.
Yeah.
Mm. So hopefully we'll be able to see the show tonight at 10:30.
Oh, you'll love it. It's great. You look great.
I haven't seen it yet.
You look great.
What did you guys think was the best laugh? Because, Mort, you got a lot of laughs in this. What do you guys think?
Mort's ad-lib for the Gardner Weish commercial. the ISIS material.
Which one was that? Which ad-lib?
The ISIS stuff.
Oh, that.
That was pretty damn good.
And we, of course, we did notice that was the Bill Bonds account back in the Gardner White.
Well, we don't talk about that.
Gardner Weish, totally different
company. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
I just wondered if that was part of the joke. I mean, not the nation may not get that.
You know,
that,
these guys who write the show are from Detroit, and they make all these local references, and I'm sure that was in the front of their minds when they were writing those lines, deciding on that title, the name of that store.
Now, we noticed when you were playing pool that you're a lefty. Drew noticed that. Are you a lefty?
He had one lefty shot.
Oh.
But he was a righty. That must have been a trick shot you made, right, Mort?
Well, I can't give any trade secrets away. You know, you don't want to see the sausage being made. But I understand I came out looking pretty good on that shot.
Oh yeah.
I guess to say they make you look real hip on that show, Mort. I mean, are you having a lot of fun with this?
I had a blast. I had a ball. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, things are so serious these days, and there's so much tension in the country, and people are at each other's throats over so many different issues. And it's just fun to back out. And I'm a news junkie. You know, I spent my life and career in news, so I have to admit I watch more of it than is healthy. So it was just kind of fun to back out of all that and get into the fantasy world of movies and do something satirical and with absolutely not a redeeming feature to it.
There were a couple other shout-outs to contemporaries, too, like Diana Lewis Elementary. And then there was a line about Guy Gordon. If you want to sell furniture, get Guy Gordon.
Yeah. Guy interviewed me yesterday, and he wanted to know if I had ad-libbed that in. I said, no, Guy, that was actually in the script. I said, the only ad-libbing I did was when I forgot my lines.
did you really ad-lib something last night or tonight's show?
There are a few places in there where, you know, it's kind of improvisational. And
that's cool.
They had a script and they gave me lines, but if I, you know, felt the urge to throw something in and if they liked it, they kept it.
There's the one funny scene, and you've done this before in Detroiters, where a commercial runs, and it's, of course, their commercial because the two guys are an ad agency. And you come back and you comment on the commercial. In fact, you made them the chump of the week based on the lousy job they did editing your commercial. Did you ever comment on a commercial when you came back to the news desk ever in your career?
You know, I can't say definitively that I didn't, but I don't remember. And it would be untypical. you know, we played the news pretty straight in the time period that I was working. If it was something light and funny, I might have, but I don't recall ever doing that. Certainly not in any way, shape, or form that would be that would resemble what these guys do with the Detroiters.
Yeah, I didn't quite imagine it would be that dramatic to call some sponsor the Chump of the Week, but Chump of the Week, that's I kind of like that.
I like that bit, yeah.
Especially when it's your kid's friend. Was his name Trevor? One of your kid's friends who had a nosebleed when he came over. I think that was my favorite Chump of the Week so far. Those are my sheets you bled on.
Moore, you did news for so long. You worked with Jessica Savage, who we all knew very well and lost a long time ago. And you worked in our market forever in Philadelphia. And I wonder what you think of news right now, because it's a crazy time. And there seems to be so much disappointment with the way news is delivered. It's changed a lot in the 20 years since you've been an anchor. And I just wondered if you had any feelings about it, if you like it, dislike it, or you're appalled.
I do have feelings about it. I watched a lot of it, and I'm a channel switcher. I have my own favorite channel that I watch most of the time, but I also want to sample and see what the other guys are doing on the other channels. We tend to watch Lester Holt every night on NBC to get kind of a 30-minute summary of the day. But I think all three of the networks do a good job. I think there is so much opinion being presented in news formats, and this is particularly true of the cable channels, that it's hard for people to sort out. And when I hear people say to me, well, there's nothing, nobody's objective anymore, I think what they're referring to is what they see with all these opinionators coming on all the cable channels. Mm-hmm. Because if you cut through all of that and go for the straight newscasts on any of the three major networks or on CNN, I think you will find that most of the reporters are doing a credible job. They're working hard. They're trying to be fair. But what happens is all of this noise that goes on 24 hours a day, particularly Fox and MSNBC, where they are strictly touting a party line. People confuse that with the honest journalism that's going on just beneath the surface.
I agree. It worries me that people want their news through their own filter like that. It just seems to me it's like you're really, it's partisan news. And I don't know. I have a hard time watching either one of them, to be honest. And I can see the same story.
I think what people refer to as fake news is really any news that challenges their own opinions or that doesn't coincide with what they want to hear. And then that's true across the spectrum.
I almost end up every day yearning for a Mort Krim to be sitting in that chair. So, you know, it just would be more reassuring, I think, than what is being dished out now. But,
you know, I don't know if I could survive today because maybe you could, maybe in a local anchor chair. And I think certainly Devin Scillian and the guys and gals who are doing it now in Detroit, I think, are doing a very good job and working hard to stay, down the middle and straight on their news. But it would be difficult with all of the noise out there to have an imprint or make an impression to cut through the clutter.
Yeah, and there's a lot less resources in local news, too. And I agree with you. I think they do a good job. I've always loved local news. But how many resources have they lost just because the audience is smaller? Or is that just people being paid less?
Well, a lot. And the mantra in our business is that everybody's required to do more with less. And whereas my memoir is coming out this year. And I've been doing a lot of reflecting. It's taken me 4 years to write it. And this will be book number 8, and I think it probably will be my last, although sometimes I think there is one more that's kind of percolating in there. But in my memoir, I reflect back on the time, it's been 30, 40 years ago when all of this happened. But in Louisville, Kentucky, WHAS, we hired an investigative reporter by the name of Clarence Jones, who had great credentials, Pulitzer Prize winner, worked for the Miami Herald. And we brought him in and gave him resources, a camera crew and a researcher and an assistant. And they closeted away for, I think, a couple of months without putting anything on the air. Huh. And when they did come up with their series, it was a blockbuster that sent police to prison, and you know, incriminated judges, and I mean, it was a blockbuster investigative report. Well, how many local stations today have the money or the will to commit to a team? I remember the I-Team on WDIV in Detroit with Mike Winland, and Terry Oprio was the producer, and they did some fantastic work. Yeah. But it takes time to do investigative journalism. It takes money. It takes resources. It takes commitment. I don't see that kind of thing happening these days.
Yeah, I always looked forward to May because you knew there were always going to be great stories on Channel 4 and Channel 7 and Channel 2, and you'd have something to talk about on our radio show in the morning. Almost every day there was something fascinating. And yeah. Just not as much now. It's hard to do that. It's expensive. Yeah. But more, you are making, being your age, and I'm not sure what your age is exactly, but you're making it look like a lot of fun. Are you having as much fun as it looks like?
Well, my age is no secret. I'll be 83 next week, and I don't feel a day over 82. But I am having fun. We're enjoying this motorhome lifestyle. We boated for 25 years, and then we decided, you know, where can you go in a boat except back and forth in the water? And let's get a motorhome where we can go visit the grandkids and do things. And we've been doing that. We took our 7-year-old granddaughter and 12-year-old grandson to Hershey Park a couple of weeks ago. We took him through Philadelphia because he's 12 years old, and we took him on a historical tour and showed him all the places that I was familiar with, having lived in Philly and worked there. And we took the kids on the RV to Legoland a couple of years ago. Huh. So we're getting around, visiting our children, having fun with our grandchildren. I do some writing on the RV, and so it's not 100% play, but mostly.
Setting the family aside, which is pretty hard to do, if somebody's looking for a little mobile trip for the summer, a little getaway, what are your favorite places to go when you head off in the RV?
Well, there's a place that's not far from where we live in Jacksonville called Beverly Beach. It's down between St. Augustine and Daytona. And they have RV parking spots with complete hookups right on the water. So you get up in the morning and you look out the front windshield and you're looking at the ocean.
Wow.
And the beach. And that's what we put there the other day. We have another place in Franklin, South Carolina, that only has 16 parking spots. And it's very wooded and very remote and just a real fun place to go relax. This park that we're in right as I talk to you near Richmond, Virginia, is right next to Old Dominion Amusement Park, and it's a beautiful place. And I tell you how we picked it. We called around to see who had cable TV that could get the Comedy Channel. And this was the first one that did, and so this is where we parked.
Wow.
We want to see the show tonight.
Mort, of course, you were the inspiration for Will Ferrell in Anchorman, and I know you liked the parody of it, but when it first came out, what were your thoughts originally? Like, what is this movie? What is this all about?
Well, I was really curious to know how I got, how I had any association with it, and then I discovered when we met Will he invited Rainey and me to the premiere of Anchorman 2. And at the after party, we were talking to him and to his associate who grew up in Philadelphia and was young enough that he was old enough, rather, that he watched Jessica and me on the air. And they thought that would be a good basis for a parody. So Jessica Savage became, what was her name?
Christine
Applegate's character, yeah.
Christine Applegate.
Yeah. Applegate played the role, but I'm trying to think what her stage name was in the movie. But so Jessica and
Veronica
I became the sort of the models for the satire. Corningstone was her
Veronica.
Veronica Corningstone. That's who she was on the air.
I see that.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun. You know, somebody told me the other day, said, you may become the Betty White of bankers. just keep on ticking.
And you're immortalized by a cool Detroit band, the White Stripes. So,
oh, yeah.
What else?
Yeah, that's right. That's that's the one thing that some of the younger people know me by. yeah, that was my entree into pop culture.
Your kids must be getting great laughs out of this stuff and joy, I would think.
Oh, they are. Yeah, my daughter called me yesterday and was razzing me about it. Yeah.
Well, have fun watching tonight. It's a great episode. I have to say, I thought it was one of the funniest Detroiters I've seen, and we like the show. We really do.
Yeah.
So have fun watching it tonight, Mark.
I'm quite eager to see it myself tonight. So,
well, great.
Enjoy what's going on in that park. And
thank you so much. I appreciate the chance to talk to you guys and plug the show and onward and upward.
All right, Mark. Great talking to you. Keep it up.
Now I got to go wash the sewer stuff off my hands so I can go have dinner.
Sorry about that. We'll see you, Mark.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, what a pro.
I was going to ask, I wonder if he gets royalties from the sale of Elephant since he's on it.
Maybe. You want to play that intro, Brandon? I know you got it queued up.
When problems overwhelm us and sadness smothers us, where do we find the will and the courage to continue? Well, the answer may come in the caring voice of a friend, a chance encounter with a book, or from a personal faith.
Oh, whoa, what happened?
What?
Oh, you're signed in on my account? That's why.
Almost everything he says, though, when you ask him a question, then he answers, sounds like that.
Yeah.
Like the beginning of voice, one of those.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
That was cool.
I'm surprised he retired in 97.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, we got some volume.
For Janet, help came from her faith, but it also came from a squirrel. Shortly after her divorce, Janet lost her father. Then she lost her job. She had mounting money problems.
Oh, no.
But Janet not only survived, she worked her way out of despondency, and now she says life is good again. How could this happen? She told me that late one autumn day, when she was at her lowest, she watched a squirrel storing up nuts for the winter. One at a time, he would take them to the nest. And she thought, if that squirrel can take care of himself with a harsh winter coming on, so can I. Once I broke my problems into small pieces, I was able to carry them, just like those acorns, one at a time.
Yeah!
I did not know that there was a horn in this.
Yeah, I forgot the sax part.
Knock it off. Do you want to play that scene from Detroiters?
Yeah, why don't we play it after the break? And I want to mention is it's Comedy Central.
Yeah.
10:30, right?
10 or 10:30, I can't remember.
We looked that up. Oh, it doesn't matter because it'll be tomorrow. But they that's available on demand.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Mike listener emailed Dr. Yaddle last week and said LASIK had been a game changer, literally swimming, softball, golf, never having to pop out contacts, wipe off sweaty glasses. And also, he thanked Dr. Yalder for using us as an advertiser, or as his vehicle, messenger. He's right. See everything from the tiny to the distant with 20/20 or better is a game changer, a life changer. This week, many more. We'll have Dr. Yaldo, Michigan's premier eye surgeon, free them from the hassle of glasses, contacts, and reading glasses, the ancient technologies that can only mask but never solve the problem. It costs nothing to call Dr. Yaldo and get a free evaluation. Maybe it's custom LASIK or monovision. Or it might be what people my age could use, the Rolls-Royce treatment, multifocal lens implants. And like our listener wrote, Dr. Yaldo, you'll always get the exclusive Drew and Mike discount. Call 800-398-EYES. There's no, you don't have to promise to do anything. Just go and get a consult.
See
what you see. See what you think. 800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
10:30 on Thursdays on Comedy Central, The Detroiters. Season cool. 2.
Yeah, and, you know, I watched the first episode. There's already been 6 episodes.
Of season 2?
Yeah. Is that right?
Yes, yeah. The last two, the previous two episodes were probably their two best ones. The one with Tim's brothers, by far and away the best one.
I just watched the first one earlier today. It was very funny, but I just kind of forgotten about the rhythm of the show because it's a fairly new show. It is really, it looks like season 2 is possibly better than season 1, if that's possible.
Yeah.
In spite of their snubbing us. Jeez. Our friends at Zod M59 Chrysler Jeep are celebrating summer with some of the lowest prices and largest inventories in Metro Detroit. You won't find too many people that wouldn't love to have a new Jeep Wrangler. And with leases this low, almost everyone can afford one from DealsInAD.com. Right now, during the summer clearance event, lease a new 18 Jeep Wrangler 4-door Sport at $249 a month. Plus, Zot Chrysler Jeep have almost 300 new Wranglers available for you to choose from. Yes, nearly 300 new Jeep Wranglers are available in White Lake. Or if you prefer to keep a few extra dollars in your pocket, go lease a new 18 Jeep Cherokee all-wheel drive for $179 a month. See details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And okay, now we got, is Mark Santee? Are we going to talk to Mark?
He's directed me through some people.
Oh, there's some iffiness going on?
Well, he had asked permission.
I can't believe these guys have asked for permission.
Well, he's got a big job.
I know.
In NYC.
Maybe that's his way of blowing people off. Oh, I got to ask for permission, and then they turn it down.
I don't think so.
TMZ.
He was glad to hear that we were still going. And then he said, oh, sorry, I got interrupted because of a breaker. And I was like, a breaker? Is that a euphemism for a big story? Term. And that was that pipe that blew up in the middle of New York City he covered.
Which was a bit of a big deal. The art fair's in Ann Arbor this weekend. So it's got to be 100 degrees, right?
Looks sweaty.
Yeah.
Is it indeed going to be 100 degrees this weekend?
Oh, it's actually moderate for the art fair.
Oh, that's rare for the Ann Arbor art fair. Yeah.
I don't know what they were talking about, but man, there was one of the biggest hipsters I've ever seen out there. Did you see his haircut?
I did, yes.
Back it up, Brandon. I just want to hear this hipster talk. It looks like he's talking about food, so I'm sure it's so over the top.
Eli's coming in a little bit.
That's right. Yeah. He this hipster had a really long but perfectly manicured beard and a haircut that you wouldn't match with that beard, but somehow it worked because he's a hipster.
Hey, hipsters make it work, man.
I'm sure.
We're going to talk more about food. Ravens Club is here. Sir, what's your first and last name?
I'm Nick Dean from Ravens Club.
Oh, listen, right,
Nick, what do you have here and here, quickly?
So here we've got a spicy salmon tartare, so it's kind of done ceviche style. That raw salmon on the top there. We've got avocado and
that's spicy quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
I'm intimidated by his voice.
And the other with Thai chili.
And his beard.
A little bit of wasabi aioli.
And over here?
Nice.
Oh, Humphrey's moving them on.
Which is a dish close to Chef Christian's heart.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that.
Stir-fried noodles done really traditional. Vegetables, egg, tofu,
got that
all
resonant
in there.
Sound.
Just don't ask for it extra spicy unless you mean it, because he really wants to have it.
That beard.
All right, we'll prepare our tongues and our tummies and our throats, all right?
Yeah, we got to put a picture of him on the site.
Man, that is a healthy beard. And he's into food, so do you think food gets in it?
Yeah, maybe that's why he has
it pretty big. It's a Letterman-sized beard.
Yeah, I got a shitty beard, and I get food all up in this one, so that one.
You have to comb your face, literally, after food.
A lot of condiments in there, condiments.
I don't know why that reminded me of the story, but there's like four or five viral videos today, and one of them is the guy who grabs the waitress's ass
what a dick.
In the restaurant, and she proceeds to just turn around and take him down.
Yeah.
And
he should sue her for assault.
Well, you know, I wondered about that.
Oh,
well, you know how people are. He assaulted her first, so I guess she can assault him back. I don't know. I did wonder if that would be if he had an attorney, if that would be the line.
What an asshole.
It's self-defense of your buttocks.
Yeah.
Can't cross that line.
She looks better in the surveillance video than she did in the Inside Edition interview.
Oh,
yeah, I agree.
Damn.
You know what? I saw a picture of her on Instagram, too. She looks better there than either place.
So there, some people were...
It was probably not appropriate to be talking about her appearance.
Somebody, I don't even know who it was talking about her teeth and her eyebrows.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, shallow people.
Some shallow people also were saying that she was barely wearing any clothes and maybe... There's a little bit of imitation.
Oh, really?
No.
Some people were saying, not me. I was not one of those people.
See.
Honestly, what kind of asshole does that? Did you see the other clips Inside
Edition? No, he's a total asshole.
No, but the other clips that Inside Edition
had. They clearly dressed their waitresses very skimpily at that restaurant.
Yeah, for you to look at, not touch.
Yeah. Well.
Touching costs you extra.
Yeah. Plus.
Yeah,
plus
costs you a takedown.
Don't wear that outfit again.
And an arrest. The guy's 11 years married with two little kids, too. That's nice.
Yeah, and you look like kind of an ass being taken down by a little woman
like
that.
But you know what?
If his blood was in his dick, though. No fighting blood.
If he fights back and wails on her, I mean, isn't that a little bit worse?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there was no winning for that guy.
Yeah, he needed to go down and stay down.
And then not only that, did anybody see? I didn't watch this, and I'm kind of ashamed to even be talking about it because it looked so stupid. There's a video of Jenny McCarthy's haunted house.
No.
Where the piano plays.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently without anyone playing it.
Sure.
I don't believe anything out of Jenny McCarthy's mouth.
I saw the story and just moved on to the next
one.
Okay,
I'm glad both of you are as uninterested as I was.
I hope you're going to mention the best video.
The Utah train conductor?
No, that was a pretty good one.
That's pretty good.
What an asshole. Another asshole. Why are there so many assholes?
I don't know. And everybody's got a camera on them, too, which is sort of fun, but I don't know. I'm getting a little exhausted by it. Like, you know, the asshole. If it was just the asshole of the day and you could choose to look or not, but these things go so viral, they get bumped way up in the news cycle. And I feel like...
No, Brandon, no!
I'm remiss.
That's the ghost.
The Jenny McCarthy ghost.
Fake!
Someone just played the piano. Someone just played the piano.
Maybe it's a vaccination.
I don't know.
Vaccination.
What, why
the ghost of someone
of the scariest things in her life?
Everything's ungodly. It's the ghost of someone who wasn't vaccinated.
Yeah. Was this her home surveillance system that caught this? By the way, because I was a little kind of wondering. Oh, gee, why is there video of this? She knew the piano was going to play.
Yeah, it's her home nest.
It's an anti-vax.
So
ghost.
Fake. Yeah. Scariest thing from Jenny McCarthy.
That's the funny. best thing that has been suggested so far. I think the Utah train conductor is worth a view. He's pissed because women were going in the bathroom together.
Yeah.
And so
that's one of our legacies.
I know. On a train, it's a little surprising, maybe. Anyway, he suggested they were porn. He called them porn stars or something, which made them mad. And then he said something that made them madder.
Oh.
And it just is funny how this conversation gets so escalated when it really was not necessary. I guess there were some guys waiting to get in the bathroom, and they were a little fussy because a couple girls were in there together.
Go to the next car.
Baby.
There's a bathroom literally in every car.
And whoever you went in with the first time, not to do it, like three times.
But you have no right to say that they were like
come in.
Oh, you have no right to call it.
It was two different people who went back in there. You don't get to call us porn stars.
You
don't get to call us porn stars.
Stop making me defend this asshole.
He looks like PC Principal.
Does.
You pushed the bathroom door in. Is that okay? Is that professional on any means?
You know what?
Is it?
I don't care what y'all say.
What's your last name?
I'm not telling you my last name.
We're going to find it out.
Bathroom Brad.
I don't care.
Oh, bathroom.
You should have cared.
Terry.
No, bathroom Brad is good.
I don't, but you don't.
Shitter Steve.
These women need an answer. What's wrong with that?
Why does it take all three of them 10 minutes?
Because
why are you still arguing about it? Move on with your life.
No, there's a better part coming.
Why is he staying there?
He's outnumbered.
Listen to this part.
What happened?
That was it.
What the hell is going on? That's the end? Is that the Daily Mail version?
I can get to the Daily Mail version.
He complains. I'll just...
That's the conductor?
Yes. Yes. That's an employee.
Wait, who's driving the train?
Oh, well, the engineer.
Itself?
Yeah, the engineer.
The engineer.
Anti-vax ghost.
He suggested, he was complaining that, well, why did you all have to be there at once? And I don't know what the girl said, but he said, she said, well, I need a tampon or something. What, are you putting them in each other?
That set it off
to a new level.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oh, what a dick.
I know, that was a little rude.
I didn't know there were any rules on the train, because I've been on the train a couple of times going to Chicago, and that is just lawless country.
Yeah, well, right, international the tracks.
yes.
This is going all over social media.
This is going all over social media.
You need a tampon sometimes.
By the time the three came out, there were three guys waiting to get in there.
Okay, well, nobody was
there
waiting.
They would have had to wait anyways. If one of us, if we went in one at a time, they would have had to wait anyways.
good math, honey.
Get off at the next stop if you got a problem.
You should get off at the next stop.
Nice comeback.
We do need your last name.
There will be a complaint that is filed.
He's gone.
That's fine.
It better be fine because it's happening.
I've got a bunch of witnesses in that car.
So do we.
I told you several times not to do it.
You didn't tell me anything
once. You didn't tell me anything until you came up here and called us porn stars.
You know what?
Oh, my God.
I know you know. And you were in that third group.
That was rude, though.
There was two.
You scared them. She couldn't.
There was two groups.
You're
bad.
I asked you before you even went in there.
You're getting in there. You see that?
Oh, fighting is fun.
Break it up. Break it up.
Okay.
What about the other video? Do you have the other one?
Wait. I wrote down like six videos today.
the videos?
The ice cream vendor.
Oh, no. I haven't seen the ice cream vendor.
The ice cream vendor.
Famous video.
I thought you could say the guy that spits on the security guy,
that guy
in Detroit.
Child. No, the ice cream guy, he got arrested by the police, and they're searching him. and he does not like where he's being searched at and lets them know it.
Oh.
You haven't seen this one?
No.
I can't find
this. What's the issue?
He is an ice cream vendor, and they arrested him. They thought he was dealing drugs or had weed on. He did have weed in his sock.
Every ice cream cream vendor does,
that's the point of
right?
driving around, yeah.
Come on, man.
He was really up there in his butt.
Did you hear what he said? You just had your finger in my ass. You said your finger in my crack.
Come on, man. He don't got nothing on
him. I don't have nothing. He just stuck his finger in my crack. That ain't it right. I am a man, bro.
I'm a man, bro.
Yes, is that a slam at gaze?
He's squatting.
This the wrong stop. Neighborhood, man. There ain't nothing going on, y'all.
Come on, man. Stop fingering me, though, stop. Bro.
Movie.
You fingering my ass, man.
I'm
what
outside
you mean?
Your pants, bro.
Man, that's still my asshole, man. What you doing,
man? How you going like this?
Bro, I pull my pants down. Don't sit here and finger my ass like that, man, like I'm not a man. Man, what the fuck is you doing, man?
Like I'm not a man.
You treating me like it, though, bro. Don't rub your finger across my ass crack like that. Let me do yours. How would you feel?
No.
Come on, man. I hear you, though, man, but come on with that right there, man. Don't demasculate me, man.
Demasculate.
Come on, man, bro.
I like his the cop corrects his English.
Well, whatever. You
know what I have? All right, sir, I just need to check inside your asshole.
So, how long does it take?
Oh, they're pouring out his beer. Yeah.
Really? I mean, his ass can't be that big. How long does it take to check?
I don't know. He kept fingering it.
He was really in there, I got to say.
He was really in there. Well, unfortunately, the guy's suing the police department.
But they found weed in his sock.
But nothing in his butthole.
Why'd they check his butthole before his sock?
Well, I think doesn't the sock give the probable cause to check the butthole? I'd rather check the sock first than the butthole.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, me too. But
boy, it's tough out there. It is tough out there. You know, I was reading the story because these people that show up in these viral videos. You know, they're labeled immediately, and I believe this is a leap. And the best example is the woman who wants to know if the girl has a permit in San Francisco, because all the other vendors support her and said, hey, this is BS. She loses her job. She's called a racist, basically by the entire nation or whatever part of the nation wants to believe that. She's on social media till the end of time. Well, now we have the Staples worker. If you remember, she wouldn't let Sherry Shepherd use the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What's that about?
Well, she says she's
Shepherd's
suing.
She's known to blow out bathrooms.
Now, I think we all know Sherry Shepherd to know that she can be a little full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Sherry Shepherd made a viral video complaining that got loads of attention. It got news coverage that this woman, who she named, would not allow her to use the bathroom because she's black. And the woman says she's suing Sherry Shepherd, and I think she's asking for wages lost. She's not asking for, it's not like she's asking for $10 million or anything. She says that she was told by managers, because the bathrooms are being fixed, to keep customers away from them. And she said that she was also told, you tell them it's being cleaned or something. They just didn't, I don't know if it was incapacitated to the point that they didn't want custody. I don't know. For
clogged.
Whatever reason, that's what she says, and she's suing. So I'm reading this story, and I think I pretty well summarized it. Anyway, I bump into this other story about Sherry Shepherd being taken into court because she and her third husband, she's had some very short, very bad marriages.
Yeah, for sure.
She married the guy that turned out to be a gay dude.
Oh, right.
Or at least he was
on the
Are you thinking of Star Jones?
Oh, maybe I am thinking of Star Jones. Sherry Shepherd. Oh, boy.
Sherry Shepherd's
the View?
Yeah, I think she might have replaced Star. But Sherry Shepherd's the one that had the kid issue.
Yeah, there's the surrogate.
Yeah.
And most recently was on Family Feud.
Cut his penis off!
I kind of like Sherry Shepherd, and she's had some ups and downs. But nonetheless, she and her new husband had hired a surrogate.
Yeah.
They're paying her $100,000 to have this baby, and 7 months pregnant, the surrogate is, when Sherry Shepherd says, I want to divorce you, mm-hmm. and I don't want the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy says, well, I wanted a baby, and I'm adopting the baby as planned. And he, however, does not have the resources Sherry Shepherd has, so he sues her for child support.
It's kind of fascinating.
It is. It's a really interesting case. I mean, sometimes the law is just really interesting. In this case, the court says, you have a contract with this woman, the both of you do, and Sherry Shepherd, you will pay $4,100 a month in child support.
Good.
That's a lot of money.
She said,
I'm telling you, that baby could be the star of a show called Babies I Don't Care About.
She absolutely.
That might be the first baby I'd like to see a show on, because it's an interesting case.
I think she would call it.
Yeah.
I think that would be the name of the show. Sherry Shepherd has not seen the baby.
You know
why? The baby is a year old.
That baby is ugly.
That's part of the reason. She also really wants nothing to do with this dude. The baby was for him, I guess. I know the whole thing sounds
that's
real cockamamie. Yeah, I thought it was very weird. It's like, why are you having a surrogate,
yeah,
nonetheless, paying her all this money, and you don't want the baby if this thing falls apart? You can't just return babies. I know Rosie O'Donnell did it, but you can't do that. Unless you're Rosie O'Donnell, apparently.
That thing goes for my baby!
So the court just ruled, she appealed, and the court just said, no, we're not even going to hear the appeal. You
Good.
Have to pay $4,100 a month in child support. And apparently, I think I am conflating Star Jones and Sherry Shepherd. Star Jones married a total load, and
Reynolds.
Al Reynolds, yeah. And he hit her up for a bunch of money, and she had to pony up to him. And
their wedding was sponsored.
Yes, it was.
She got in deep shit for that.
She was laying out people that were involved in her wedding were getting named on The View, and apparently she was getting the services for free, and it was a big mess.
Barbara Walters was livid.
Sherry Shepherd has her own woes, and in this case, she's going to have to pay up. And I don't know, what is Sherry Shepherd doing now besides being on Family Feud?
No, she's on one of those shows.
Is she on one now?
Maybe she's on The Talk or... The View, The Talk, The Chew.
She's an amusing. I find her to be amusing. I kind of like her. I have no beef with her.
What show is she on, Brandon? Do you know?
Currently, I'm not sure. I'll look it up.
Not important.
The other stupid story. Boy, there's just no end to stupid stories, are there? I mean, it seems like, I feel like we're just overloaded with them daily, and I thank God for these guests.
Love stupid short stories.
I can take a modicum of them. I just feel like they get a little overwhelming because they seem to go so viral, but I guess people like them. Did you see there's a blog on how to get by in New York on $25 an hour?
What?
And it was about interns because that's the standard rate for internships. So this girl writes in the blog, and the entire planet has just descended on this girl.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we hate you.
Why? Why?
Her parents pay her $2,100 a month rent.
Oh.
She gets allowance of $800 a month, and she reveals all this in her blog.
Allowance?
Yeah. Grandpa gives her a $300 a month allowance, too, so she has $1,100 a month allowance after her rent is paid.
Jeez.
So then,
plus her $25
She makes $4,330 a month.
What?
And that's her disposable income. I think she makes $3,200 and she gets $1,100 allowance. So she was saying that, and she's always talks about how she gets free this and free that, and she spends
what a bitch.
She spends her internship looking for podcasts that teach her how to live her life better.
Oh, like us. I'm starting to like this person.
We need to contact her.
Money's no problem for me. I've come into a little nest egg. My mother died.
Well, it was also millennial interns, and so millennials are angry, and everybody's just had it with this.
Does she have a roommate?
This entitled brat. I don't know if she has a roommate.
Now I hate her even more because she could get a roommate and then have them pay her cash. And now that's another income stream for her.
Would $2,100 a month cover a place in Manhattan? Probably not.
No. I doubt that.
Well, let me see.
Manhattan?
The silly story.
It is the most millennial story ever. She loves the avocado toast and hot yoga.
Yes, and her hot waxes.
Yeah.
Her monthly waxes.
She gets, the what's it called? Brazilian sugar rings.
Oh, boy.
What is that? I don't know what that was.
Is there? Please tell me there's a YouTube for it.
you want to see that?
Yeah, search that in YouTube. Yeah, I kind of do. I want to see what it is.
Well, hopefully it's on.
You know what it is?
Yeah, it's.
Oh, you do.
It's, basically your pubic hair being ripped off.
Oh, so I want to see a video.
Yeah, let's see this picture.
Good for her.
look at that stock footage of a woman.
She also uses her parents' Netflix, Spotify, and Amazon accounts and is covered by their health care.
Her parents probably pay for her cell phone, too?
Oh.
Yes, they do. She works at a $200 a month high-end gym.
So all that money is basically just goes to whatever she wants to
do. Yeah, $4,330 a month she has in disposable income.
How is this entitled individual going to make it when all of these support structures collapse
on
her?
That's a very good question. I think a lot of people are hoping that she doesn't make it at all.
What was the point of her blog?
Boasting.
How to get by on $25 an hour as an intern in New York City.
But she doesn't. No. Or is that the key is just to have her parents pay for everything?
I think she was just trying to be honest. And
what body is that?
Thigh?
Oh, it's a leg. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a stomach at first.
Here's some of the entries, some of the responses. I've never hated anyone like I hate the Refinery 29 Money Diary. All of my income is disposable income intern.
It sounds like she sounds like she'll be claiming she's a self-made woman soon, though.
Yeah, right.
Right. Watch out for that.
Just like Paris.
Yeah.
Oh, but here's a related article. Highly. Flying solo, more millennials are moving out of mom and dad's places. Figures reveal the number of youths living with their parents has dropped to 31.5%.
Oh, my God.
That still seems like a pretty high number.
You need to do something about your millennials.
These poor millennials are really taking a pounding. I mean, they just can't avoid getting pounded. Everyone wants to pound on them. And you know,
it's okay. This is the next generation always just, you know, beats up on the previous one always beats up on the next one.
I think they're taking it a lot harder than any generation. Here's where I object. And millennials are quick to point this out. There was a hashtag, what it's like to be a millennial. And I must have read 300 entries because they were really funny. I was very amused. A lot of them talk about how they're piled on with college loans, they're working two jobs, and the economy's been ruined by the baby boomers. They're trying to come back with baby boomer hatred
to sort of
explain their plight, which I thought was lame. But I thought the most intelligent one, the most intelligent things I read were ones that claimed, hey, our parents gave us everything, and then they call us entitled. What the fuck?
That's a
you
reason.
Did this to us. Is really? This our fault? Well, I don't know. I think a lot of boomer parents or parents who are probably in their 50s now, even mid to late 40s, yeah, they do entitle their kids. You know, we've talked about little things like if you go down this block on there's like 2 days a week where the lawnmowers come through. It's all services. You do not see a 14-year-old mowing a lawn on my block ever. I mean, have you ever seen a 14-year-old mowing a lawn?
No.
Has Joey ever mowed a lawn?
He has.
Yeah? Really?
Yeah.
Why is your kid
this
so
is
weird?
A generation that is willing to pay dues.
He isn't now.
Do kids ride bikes anywhere in the world?
Yeah.
I do.
Sure.
Oh, you're not a kid.
They got to wear helmets now.
Do you see three or four kids riding bikes to the park
actually,
or whatever?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, I never saw it in West Bloomfield. I never see it here.
And this neighborhood? Oh, my God. Everybody rides bikes in this neighborhood, though.
Oh, there's some. I see more adults riding bikes.
You know how you get kids to do
know,
this?
Yeah,
you got to
get
that.
Right.
It's not virtual reality. It's augmented reality. You got to make a video game and put it on the lawnmower. So maybe they can just lawnmower over points or something.
Oh, hey, that's
everything
a sweet
for
idea.
Everything for Gen Z and millennials. It's got to be reward
An
based.
App, yeah.
You know, as a renter.
Boy. Copyright.
As a renter, it has been noted that this is a real pet peeve with us. Millennials will not mow; they will not water the lawn, no matter how many times you tell them. The yard will die.
That's
just once or twice a week when it's really hot.
Yeah.
Can't do it. They just cannot do it.
That's my issue.
They can't pull weeds.
Well, you don't do it.
Just
what
do it.
I pull weeds, but I suck at watering the lawn, and so it dies out.
You suck at watering,
the
lawn.
Oh, that's right. Remember, it takes too much time for Brandon.
You photographed your father-in-law doing a backsplash. You can mow a lawn.
All you do is turn the little nozzle.
Well, it's just I get home and I want to go immediately to bed, and then I wake up and I have to go to work.
I'm buying you a timer.
It's not
I'd appreciate
hard.
That.
I'm doing it right now.
Oh, well, and one of those sprinklers that basically tractors over your lawn. You should just get that.
I would love to get an irrigation system, but it's pretty expensive. But
yeah, that could be the answer. Well, let's bring Eli into play. Eli Zarrett is in the house. How you doing, Eli?
Good, good, good. Everything's good.
Did you watch the All-Star game?
You know, I didn't.
I didn't either, and it sounded like it was a good game.
I felt guilty that you were going to ask me that I didn't watch it, but then you didn't watch it, so I don't feel so bad anymore.
I watched the Home Run Derby.
So I saw a little bit of that, yeah.
It was really good. I enjoyed it.
The All-Star game, it used to be important, I think, back in the old days. It seemed to make a difference, but no, the All-Star game.
What's happened there?
We see everybody all the time now, so it's not a big deal to see these players.
You're probably right. Although the All-Star game, you do see them all in one place.
What turned me off was when they made the ridiculous, absurd decision, which is redundant, ridiculous, absurd, nonsensical, stupid decision to make an exhibition game count.
Yes.
With this huge ramifications of being the World Series home team. That was so stupid that it took any credibility away from the All-Star game. Oh, now we're going to forget about that. Now it's just an exhibition again. It's a joke.
And plus, you know, each team has like 50 people on it because some players just don't play.
I know, so many guys don't show up. You know, am I crazy, Eli? It seems to me back when I was a kid, and I know we're talking a million years ago, that nobody ever said, well, I pitched Saturday, so I'm out of the All-Star game. I mean, starters, Don Drysdale, Fergie Jenkins, Bob Gibson, whatever it was, if they wanted them to go an inning, they went an inning.
It was an honor to be in the game.
Exactly.
Now your agent and your owner, who says you've already pitched 137 pitches in the last two starts and in 13.1 innings, so therefore you're over the limit, you can't pitch in this game. So, yeah, it's money rules the game, agents rule the game. Longevity, you know, longevity and high salaries rule the game, and so the All-Star game becomes an afterthought.
I'm the man who has the ball. I'm the man who can throw it faster than fuck.
Will anyone in, I'm just thinking, some guy in 2020 who's 40 years old say, oh, the 2004 All-Star game was the best. The 2009 All-Star. Does anyone remember All-Star games anymore?
No. I have a hard time remembering who won the World Series 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I can tell you one in 1959 and 1963.
Dodgers and Yankees in 63? Or was that the...
Dodgers and Yankees in 63.
Yeah, okay.
And 59.
Cardinals in 64. Okay, what All-Star games do you remember?
I remember... Well,
I mean, most memorable.
Obviously, in 1971, when Reggie Jackson hit the one over the wall, and all the Hall of Famers hit home runs.
Were there six home runs in that game?
I don't remember. I think there were six. Yeah, maybe.
Frank
so.
Howard hit a couple, didn't he?
I know one. I bet you remember is when Whitaker forgot his uniform.
Absolutely, I was at that one. The one in Houston. That was very, very sad. I was very, very sorry to see that.
Was he upset about that?
Yeah, Lou, it was always hard to tell with Lou, but he was embarrassed by that. And I think that incident hurts his Hall of Fame chances.
Did they Magic Marker a number one on his jersey?
He did.
Yeah, there it is. He did a pretty good job.
Excellent penmanship,
that
but
looks
not
good
enough. You've got it there. You guys are amazing. Let's see the front, though.
That looks not bad.
You don't have it there.
The one looks kind of silly on the back without his name.
I don't think that's the actual uniform, though. I don't think that's it. I think that was a mock-up of it because he had his name written on the back and won.
Yeah, it kind of looks bad.
You know what I remember was, and I was like seven, but I remember my dad making a big deal out of the 67. Hey, the All-Star game. Santos playing. Banks and Williams are in it. I was like, oh, Ron Santo, my favorite player. So it went 15 innings, and... I want to say Jenkins pitched three innings and struck out six guys. I mean, there were some really great performances. It was a 2-1 game, though. Tony Perez had a bomb in the 15th to win it.
That's what I was going to remember. The Tony Perez one was a 15-inning game, yeah.
But it was exciting.
I also remember when they had two All-Star games in a season. They did that, I think.
You're dating yourself a little bit here.
It was like 60, 61, and 62. That's why Al Kaline has the record for most All-Star games, like 30 All-Star, not 30 All-Star, but over 20 All-Star games.
Yeah.
Because there are years he played in two of them.
Oh, that's weird.
They were raising money for the Veterans Pension Fund or something.
Right. That was pre-union when they got that written in.
So they had one in September, didn't they? And in the middle of the year? Or was it two in the middle?
Two in the middle.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty sure two
weird.
In the middle. Yeah, they'd be a couple of weeks apart.
Remember Ron Santo had the game-winning hit in one of those two in the year thing off Stu Miller was blown off the
blown
mound.
Blown off the mound in San Francisco.
Yeah. I've never
you
seen
You are dating
it.
Yourself. You were
No,
were
I read about it. I didn't see it. Ron Santo was my favorite player, so I've learned a lot about the years I didn't I wasn't old enough to watch him.
How about the 87 one, which went extra innings and Tim Raines had a triple. So it was two outs.
Is that
that was
game?
A big I remember where I was when that happened.
What's embarrassing to me is all these games you're talking about, I was on the air that night, and I showed the highlights, and I have no recollection. So,
What was the All-Star game?
All the things I covered that I really?
Another day at work.
That tends to happen.
Bo Jackson.
Oh, Bo Jackson. Yes, I do remember that.
It was a leadoff homer, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep. The Boston Music Awards were the same night. I hurried back to watch the,
Now that you've lost your audience, what's next?
I know.
I noticed Trudy totally zoned out on this All-Star talk, I understand. That's fine.
I'm searching WNBC in New York for Mark Santia. I'm trying to get
Did you know Mark Santia?
Yes, yeah. Channel 4 reporter, producer.
Both. Yeah. Did you watch the CNBC hour on the Mark Becerra, Jane Becerra murder?
No, but I think I followed the case. I don't know if I saw the actual
That was a really good show.
Yeah, it was very good.
What's called Rich and Deadly? Deadly Rich. Yeah, CNBC, right.
They had some of the questioning of Becerra that we'd never seen before, and of Joe Gentz, the guy that killed Jane Becerra. And it was pretty chilling stuff. And a lot of local guys on there. Mark Santia's in New York now. But
yeah.
Good for him.
He's on there.
Very animated.
Yeah, he was very animated. He's accused of being overly animated.
He's a guy who started as like an intern, and then he got to do a little research, and then he got to produce a thing or two, and they put him on the air and made a really nice career.
One of the, they had to clear it through whoever basically takes care of their talent up there, and the guy just called me, and it was like, hi, this is John Durso from WNBC in Detroit, or in New York City, and I got like a thrill, because...
WNBC,
WNBC.
Eli, is it weird? I just saw Bernie Smilovitz on my screen there.
Yeah.
Now, he's your contemporary. He's still going.
That's a great point. When I went to New York in 1986, they brought Bernie in from Washington. He was on a UHF station, I think.
He replaced you?
He replaced me on Channel 4, and they brought in Mike Stone to be his producer. And Stoney's had a long career. But, yeah, they brought him in 86 when I went to New York, and I came back in 88. And there were two jobs available when I came back in 88. I could have taken Channel 2, which was in the toilet, as I've described here many times.
Yeah.
Awful ratings and a terrible anchor team of Bruce Kirk and Kathy Adams that nobody's ever heard of.
I don't even remember them. Yeah.
They replaced them with Joe Glover and Dana Eubanks.
I remember
that.
A little poster that says, making a comeback is great news. Unfortunately, we never made a comeback. But
Channel 7?
Because Caragiola was going to leave Channel 7, and if I waited a year, I could have gotten that job. But Don Shane, I took the Channel 2, and Don Shane came back after 6 years of exile in Chicago and Boston doing weekends and came back to get that job.
Wait, was Don Shane here before he went to Chicago?
Don Shane taught me TV. When Channel 4 hired me in 1980, I had only done radio. I had a big talent audition there, and I was on WRIF. I don't know if you ever heard of that station or not. But I was on that one in 1980, and they had a big audition because Gail Granick, later named Gail Gardner, went to ESPN.
Who did the famous play-by-play that was not so good? Probably set women back. ESPN lost their audio.
Did she do play-by-play? I thought it was Gail Sarens was the first one who did play-by-play.
No, I think Gail Gardner did from the studio in New York, and she really wasn't too good.
She didn't. She was actually married to Russ Granick, who was the assistant commissioner of the NBA for many years.
Really?
Trivia no one cares about.
Wait, so I'm intrigued. When did Don Shane start in Detroit? Like mid-70s?
He started like 78. He's 2 years, both Bernie and Don are 2 years younger. No, he's 2 years younger than me.
Don and Bernie are younger than you?
2 years younger than me.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, there's some interesting stories. I don't think I want
to
bore you.
We talked to Mort Krim, by the way, before you got here.
Say hi to him for me?
I did not.
No, yes.
I made a point not to. No, I'm kidding. I didn't know you wanted me to. He's on Detroiters tonight, which is on Comedy Central, and he's got the funniest role. I don't know if you've seen him. He's been kind of a recurring story. These two guys are from Detroit, and they write the show, and it's called Detroiters.
A local man is in dire need of a kidney tonight, and he's not telling anyone why.
It's just a lot of
goofy. We should
play
that scene. Do you sell the
Yeah, play the scene. Sure.
He's doing an ad for Gardner Weich.
He's still looking pretty good.
That felt good.
Yeah, it was great.
We're absolutely perfect.
The one note is, maybe on this one, don't do the ISIS stuff.
I'm giving you gold. Don't make me shovel crap.
Yeah, we won't.
It looks good.
Did you tell him?
Sounds great.
We gave him the note.
So he's going to stick to the script.
He's going
to
talk about ISIS and action.
ISIS? Do this thing once
it's a Gardner Weich commercial.
You choose your best man. Send him here to Gardner Weich to fight me, Mort Krim. Winner take all. You win, America's yours. I win, you give democracy a good old college try. Plus, there's a cash prize. $25,000 to the winner. $25K take home tax free, put up by my good friends at Garner Weish. Print that one.
Print that one.
So I'll tell you something. So in 1980, when I got there, Mort Krim had been there 2 years, and he was not doing well against Bill Bonds. They brought him in to beat Bonds, and Bonds was kicking everybody's ass every night. And by 81 or 82, there was talk that Mort may not make it much longer. Ooh. Then something magical happened in 1982 that turned NBC around. They got a show named Miami Vice came on. And suddenly, because the number one reason for good late news content is the show that's on beforehand. People leave the station on all night. And they created that. The Tigers got good in 1982, and so more people watched the Tigers before, as George would say, News for Tonight would come on after that. George Kell, that is.
Then the Tigers on Channel 4?
Tigers on Channel 4.
Oh, wow.
And then, so those two things, that they got Miami Vice, and the Tigers suddenly got good, and they created a graphics package that had all kinds of pastel colors that looked better than Channel 7, and the thing slowly turned around.
Nice.
And the Tigers got better, and by 84, they had stayed with Mort, and suddenly they were kind of neck and neck, and then, but Mort was on the ropes there for a while. He probably doesn't want me telling you that, but...
Here's a stupid question.
I had no idea.
Why can't, or why wouldn't a local channel put the Tigers on now?
Because network programming won't allow it. Network programming won't allow it. Yeah, you can't do that. That's why there were so few Tiger games on. In 84, when they won the World Series, there were only 50 games on local television. That was the year that Pass started, and for $11.95 a month, you could have watched every Tiger game on Pass. But people didn't buy it because, A, there was no other programming but that. And back then, as Alan Frank said to me in my award-winning book, 84, The Last of the Great Tigers, he said, people just thought that TV should be free.
Yep.
There was no cable TV or very little of it, and it was supposed to be free. And to pay $12 a month to watch television was an absurd notion, and therefore there were only 50 games, and each one was like a celebration. There was a game in June against the Orioles when they came into town where they had a 45 rating.
Wow.
It might have been a 60. I don't know, the pregame show. I was always in the impression when I did those pregame shows that everybody watched. And the reason I thought that was because everybody watched. And TV is not like that anymore.
No, it's very strange.
Nobody watches.
Well, you look at some
local
of the
TV.
I know.
That is.
Yeah.
I look at some of the shows that were canceled, like the Beverly Hillbillies. You know, had like a 36 share when they were canceled.
Right.
But CBS is like, oh, we don't like the imaging. But when there's only three networks, you know, you can put something up it'll do a 30.
You got to do a 33. Yeah, you're only average. Amazing. Why would there's so little money that now? Why would Channel 7 fire Stephen Clark and Joanne Purton? I don't know who they put. They put on somebody better? Why would they fire them? Did they suddenly forget how to do the news? Were they getting too old? No.
Money.
They did it to save money.
Yeah.
Why did WJR fire Jim Brandstetter? Because they can save 30 or 40. How can 30 or 40,000 make a difference to WJR? You know what makes a difference?
Is that the
because
reason?
It does.
Is that the difference? Is that the reason?
They're
saving money on Lomas Brown?
I believe that's the main reason. Also, it can always be that the program director, in this case Mike Wheeler, tried Lomas out last training camp. In fact, I was there. I was working at WJR for a minute
there. This is inside. This is breaking news.
Where's Mort?
But I think it's to save money. I really do. And it's as ridiculous as that sounds.
Ridiculous.
How could 30 or 40 or 50,000 make a difference to a radio station?
Yeah.
The answer is it does.
Yeah, now it does. I thought maybe it was a diversity issue.
No.
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 Why would WCSX fire Karen Savelli, a classic rock station, fire a classic DJ in place of somebody nobody's ever heard of? Why would they do that?
Money.
Money. How much money? Could it be more than $40,000
a
year?
No, probably not.
No. So, because...
Maybe a little more.
You see, this, as I hold my hands up, Titanic, iceberg. The Titanic is getting closer to the iceberg, and everybody's getting thrown overboard. You got Joanne Purton getting thrown over. You got Karen Savelli getting thrown over. You got
full
the morning team here, the morning team there,
ahead.
Because they're running out of dough.
They're losing.
Are they going to hit the iceberg anyway?
Well, I think it's Iceberg, yeah.
I heard that radio's down, I think, 4.5%.
Every year it goes down.
Yeah, so it was 180 it, million yeah. 2 years ago. I think it's going to be 100.
150, now it's going to be 130.
Yeah.
130 maybe.
It's a diminishing asset that's still...
For this market.
Right, right. Well, I think locally it's that way across the country.
TV's worse.
You don't need it anymore. Pandora, Spotify, the internet, your phone.
Well, the internet's ruined everything.
No way. It's really better. What are you talking about?
Well, I like it, but I mean the record industry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Although
yeah.
I don't know. You know, they say the top 100.
They didn't do themselves much favors though when all this started either.
No.
You know, it's funny when people say I'm going to go online. You're online all the. You're never offline. Yeah,
I know.
Your pocket vibrates. You're online all the time. You don't go online. You never get off online.
Yeah.
The top 100. Celebrities or entertainers made 22% more this year than last year. That surprised me.
The top what?
The top 100.
That's because there's no middle class anymore in media.
I know. There are a lot, but you know what? We were looking at that Cameo service. Cameo's for $25, you can get these D-list people to make shout-outs
for you. Last time I was here, it was hilarious.
Oh, there yeah. There is some Cameo related news.
There's Cameo news. Farrah's dog died.
Yes, that's what he has a dog. Blue.
Aww.
Yeah. And she filmed her and her little, the 7-year-old.
It's the last time anyone saw that dog.
Yeah, that's true. What, oh, wow. Do we have breaking news again?
Yeah.
We make breaking news just like Margot Kidder.
I'm going to write that
the
in
the Farrah's dog.
The show accolade.
Hey, Drew. I wanted to say hi to Mags and Layla, your puppies. And this is Blue. Blue says hi too.
Ben's dead.
And I don't know, haters are haters, but I love you and all your support. So mwah, thank you so much, Drew. Have a great night.
Thanks for supporting.
Quiet.
I watched the video of her and her daughter with the dog.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
Was the dog dead?
No, they were playing a joke on one of their friends.
What?
Pretending the dog's dead, and then the next day the dog died.
Oh, for God's
sake. Are you kidding?
Presumably from suicide.
Anything's better than being with these two.
Yes.
I was actually bummed out seeing a dog die. I was like, no.
Oh, you're my boy!
Especially since I'd just seen it in our Cameo.
I know. Jeez. It's like he had a connection with Blue, her... Was it a Pomeranian?
Yeah, it was a Pomeranian.
You're my boy, Blue!
I like that breed. So anyway, I'm nervous. I'm putting off the You Make the Call because...
Oh, yeah. Slaughtered
these
last
are
week.
Really freaky questions you're bringing us.
I think you're going to get both tonight.
Really?
Yeah. And okay. I'm not doing it like... it's no like mercy questions here to get you back
softballs.
In the game, but... I think you're just a little off last week. You were 4 for 4 before that. The two that you didn't get, or you didn't have a chance to get when you weren't here, that you later posthumously, I'm told, got correct. Then you did sweep the week after that.
Yes.
Tie it up. And then, of course, failed miserably last week.
You were hard.
Yeah. Well, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, from Starlinkin, of course.
Starlinkin, yes. It's not rules of the game. What is the rule? Is brought to you by Starlinkin Luxury Cars. Legendary.
What is the rule?
Well,
good enough.
Did you make the call copyrighted?
Called it rules of the game for the Ford dealers, and we don't know if it's copyrighted or not, so I'm not taking a chance. I changed that. Okay. So here we go. Here's your first question. Listen carefully, okay? Ninth inning tie game. One out, man on third. Pitcher tries to get the right-handed batter to fish for an outside pitch. He reaches for it, but before his bat makes contact with the ball, his bat brushes against the catcher's mitt.
I knew this was going to happen.
He lofts a fly to right. The ball is caught, and the runner tags and beats the throw to the plate. The umpire calls catcher interference, awards the batter first base, orders the runner back to third. But the manager races to the plate to protest. Does he have a legitimate argument, and did the ump make the right call?
The ump wants to put the batter on first base.
Excuse me, this is where we do the score. I'll repeat
okay,
this.
Okay.
The call, the catcher's interference.
I knew he was going to hit the catcher's glove, by the way. I just want to say that I knew what was going to happen.
It wouldn't be part of the rules of the game. Right. If he
so he swings, it tips the catcher's glove, then hits the ball, fly to right, the runner tags, the throw home is in time, and the batter is out. So the umpire calls catcher's interference. Awards the batter first base and orders the runner back to third. Manager races. Does he have a legitimate argument? Did the ump make the right call? On the sack fly, the batter scores.
Scores,
okay?
Yeah, okay. The runner.
The runner scores. And pardon me. Boy, am I screwing this up.
Sorry.
The runner on third tags up and scores. The ump then calls catcher interference, awards the batter first base, but awards the runner who scored to go back to third on catcher interference.
I will quietly think about this.
Okay. And in the meantime, I'll tell you that 50 years ago, Hoot McInerney owned 25 dealerships representing the range of manufacturers. But since he believed Lincoln was the shining star among American luxury brands, he assigned that name to his most prized dealership. Like Mark and me, you too can drive the star of American luxury cars. And what you can do to get into one at the best possible price is call Jimmy D toll-free. Even though you have unlimited minutes on your cell phone, you can still call him toll-free.
Yeah, if you're in a pay phone.
At 855, are there still pay phones? 855-567-STAR, 855-567-STAR. Call Jimmy D. He'll tell you what it'll cost to get you in any car in the market, as a matter of fact, and certainly any Lincoln. He's got some great deals, knows all the manufacturer rebates, etc., and you're going to pay less than you think. So luxury cars, legendary dealership, and get the Drew and Mike star treatment at Star Lincoln at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield. Now, back to the question. So what is the call? The umpire called it, but the manager races out and says something else. What happened?
I want to say, I hate this. Because of last week.
That's exactly.
I'm really screwed up.
Last week's had nothing to do with this at all.
I know, but
last week.
Unless he's tricking us.
Different question, different time, different topic.
I'm going to say the manager has no beef. It's the correct call.
Yeah.
Right, Mark?
I agree with it.
You're both wrong.
God damn. So it was like last week.
The umpire made the right call according to the rule regarding catcher interference, but the manager invokes his option to instead request the result of the play rather than the actual ruling. So in this case, the batter is out in the flyout, and the go-ahead run is allowed on the sac fly. As Rule 1022 says, the umpire will allow
I'm
the play...
I'm putting my answer under protest.
If a play follows the interference, the umpire will allow the play to continue as the offended team's manager can choose to decline the interference and accept the result of the play.
I was told to ignore last week's, and last week's would have led me to say he did have a beef. Because the play could count.
Oh, well, that was me throwing you off in like reverse psychology.
Damn it.
Jesus. How did you miss that? Okay. Typically, I'll give you a chance. Now that you're down 6-3, not insurmountable. It's a long season. You can come back. Don't lose faith. In fact, if you'll concentrate here, you could get back.
Don't humor us,
six
Eli.
6-4. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Patronizing.
Yes.
Batter hits a high foul behind first base, veering towards the stands.
Let me guess, the fan is going to come out and hit the...
No, the fan is not. Okay. The fan is not. Did last week's game thing make you think that?
Okay. I'm getting very nervous about what's going to happen in this play.
Batter hits a high foul behind first base. It's veering towards the stands. The first baseman races towards the stands. And in a case of perfect timing, strength, and athletic skill, he pushes off, stretches out parallel to the ground, leaps fully into the stands, and in midair, before touching anything, makes an amazing catch. Is it an out? What's the rule?
It's an out.
Yeah.
The rule is, it's not an out.
What?
It's a legal catch only if part of his body, in this case, most likely one of his feet, was still at least partially on the field when he caught it. We know a fielder can't actually go into the stands to make a
Derek Jeter leaping into the...
That's exactly the same one I was thinking
of. At least a foot was still over the field.
Can we get the Jeter play, please?
Into the stands.
I want to replay the Jeter play.
Yeah.
Oh, I think his feet are both in the air.
I can't believe Brandon took more than a second and a half to find something. He is the fastest producer in the history of the world.
1-2. He loops that to left field. Going to be a tough play. Jeter on the run. Makes the play.
There's a different
caught
one.
Caught it way before he got there. No. If you leap
it. You're thinking in the playoffs.
He leaped into the stands and caught it, I thought.
But he did catch it before he
landed.
Oh, that's close, man.
Let's see.
It's over here. You know.
Can Brandon bring it up?
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Now watch.
Off third foul.
Watch Jeter.
Jeter there. Jeter makes the
catch. You see, he was partially on the field.
I don't know if he was, though.
He was not completely in the stands.
I don't think his foot was on the ground, though.
He had a whole leg still on the field. Run it again, Brandon. Run it again.
Oh, here we go.
That's Chuck Knobloch. That's not Jeter. Where is he? Here, look at this. Right there. Still on the field. Then he tumbles into the stands.
I want to see his feet. Oh, here we go.
Up.
And there's some fans sitting there as well.
They're off the ground.
Should have had replay back then.
But it's partially over the field. It's not off the ground. It's over the field. Part of his body was still in the field.
Oh, so it's like
right, imaginary... I'm going to make these easier. Next week there's a fly ball to the outfield.
Knock it off. The
outfielder catches it on a fly. Is the batter out or safe?
Asshole.
I have to start George Costanzing my answers, I'm afraid.
A batter swings with strike two, and it's the third strike. Is he out or does he get another chance?
Yeah, he could run to first.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I had a feeling about that first one. I should have gone with my initial thought, which was not that he would have the option, but that because the run scored,
there are a few.
I didn't realize there were options.
So apparently,
they have a lot more play on.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep. That's why the umpire lets the play play out, and then he waits to see if there's a if the manager beefs about it.
Digging the rule book.
All right.
We got an email from somebody who bought a Lincoln, by the way, who's really happy.
Good.
And really liked the people over there.
Of course.
They were very nice. He met the McInerneys. He was delighted.
McInerneys are great. Mark's met the McInerneys. Yeah. They're really sweet guys.
And we got our check, which maybe he may have. In one day. It was like one day after you asked me for...
Who'd you ask to take care of it?
I know. It was quick. It was great. Cool.
Thanks, guys. Right.
Thank you, right. Eli.
Enjoy the rest of your night. I'll hear the rest of the show tomorrow when I tune in. How far into it are we, by the way, today?
About an hour and...
1:30.
1:30, yeah.
1:30.
All right. See y'all.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye, Eli.
Thanks, Eli. Bye. I feel defeated.
I know.
How come Eli can't have a theme song?
Out of the room.
Yeah, you only need some.
We used to have a theme song.
Have theme
it's
music.
By Three Dog Night.
Eli's coming.
Yeah. Eli's coming.
We'll get one in there. It's my favorite.
No, Eli's going.
Three Dog Night.
Yeah.
Three Dog Night in review.
Okay.
Cheesy band, or was there something to them?
That's a hard question to answer, isn't it? Because there are so many cheesy Three Dog Night songs.
Joy to the World being probably the biggest.
Yeah.
I kind of like Eli's Coming. And I liked One is the Loneliest Number.
I did like that song. One
Out in the Country, I kind of like.
Yeah, that was a good song,
That
too.
Was a cool song. Mama Told Me Not to Come. No.
I kind of like that song.
All I think
it's
of is
terribly corny, but...
It is. There was something
Shambhala.
Catchy.
What about Shambhala?
Not bad.
All I can think of is Negron going around screwing and unscrewing things.
I know.
Good harmonies.
The Chuck Negron...
that is one of the
amazing.
Best bios.
It was great. Yeah, he walked through two glass doors.
Yes, he was a mess.
He has a kid that has terrible drug problems, by the way.
Really?
He's like completely sober for I don't know how many years, and he's trying to get his kid sober, and it's a real mess. I don't know if that's... When a parent is totally recovered, but the kid knows they were a complete fuck-up, is it hard for that recovered parent to help the kid? Because they understand, in a way, but...
I don't know, I think if you...
They understand too much.
If you're really honest about it and humble, maybe?
Yeah, I would think you would...
And not an asshole?
The reason I ask is I saw a story like that on Intervention, and the father had been a huge drug addict,
right. And
he was helping the kid score drugs. He was, like, driving him to get drugs.
Oh.
Because he knew that he would fall into withdrawal and be sick. He didn't want his kid to be sick.
Oh, yeah.
So it was kind of...
Exciting Chuck Negron news.
What?
That book has just been re-released with extra chapters.
Oh, excellent.
In 2018. Maybe we can get him on again.
That. Yeah. I would love to talk to Chuck Negron.
He went to 30 drug treatment facilities. 30.
Jesus.
That was wild.
I think it all falls, though, under the parental do as I say, not as I do rule, right?
Well, you have done recovery, though. I mean, you've quit.
Yeah, but you can't do drugs just because I did.
No, I know. I know. Two wrongs don't make a right.
That book also, one of the best titled autobiographies.
Three Dog Nightmare?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so great.
Yeah, I think isn't he out with Three Dog Night? Doesn't he play with them to this day? I think they play.
Are they touring?
I want to say he's like 75 years old. Can you believe how many of these people are in their 70s out there doing tours?
Yeah.
He has 11 new chapters in this book.
Oh, I'm in. I'm so in.
It better be from back then. I don't want to know about some from 1999.
Yeah, I don't want to know about his sober life.
Yeah,
fuck you.
Exactly.
Nobody cares
terrible.
About your sober life.
Yeah, no one else.
Shut up.
They do tour. They're in California.
Brandon,
it's true.
Wow.
No, that is true. Well, it hit after Trudy said they're still touring, so. Although that is kind of boring, I got to say. I wonder...
I don't think I'd go to one of their shows, huh?
I don't think so either.
What if he was all messed up again?
I'll drive Zeus.
Maybe.
I'll drive Zeus crazy by cranking Three Dog Night tomorrow on Google Play.
What does Zeus what music does he object to?
That's not like Todd Rundgren.
No, Todd Rundgren. Todd Rundgren. Really. What does he like that you like from the classic rock or new wave punky days?
What do you like?
That is he just went, nah. Put his palms
not
in the
much.
Air.
It's really more situational. It's not that I don't like Todd Rundgren. It's that we were taking the cat out and she was just cranking it. And the cat kind of wasn't having it.
Cat loves love.
Cat's behalf. I don't like Rundgren.
Spike didn't have any say in it whatsoever.
Of course not. He's a cat.
Any classic rock artists you particularly like? Rolling Stones,
Hendrix,
Van Halen,
Pink Floyd.
I'm fine with everybody. I seem to like more of it than she did when she was on CSS.
Oh!
So it's just about...
But in all fairness to her, though, she had to hear each song 80 times a day.
Yes.
Yeah. There were only five of them.
It sounds like it's more about being disrespectful to the cat.
Yeah.
I have
Zeus
heard...
Zeus is protecting
there have been
Spike.
A few trips over here where there were objections to your selection. It seems to be a theme. I don't know why the cat's not always in the car when I hear this.
Well, it smells like a cat feces.
I don't know. I've just spent my entire life when my parents used to hate the music that I played. And
yeah, it's
really hates the music
I think generally kids in their 20s like classic rock a lot more than we ever liked anything our parents liked.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was the when rock and roll came along, the divide was so huge.
Although the Mach 4 sometimes they overlapped into, like they played Honky Tonk Woman.
Yeah, I was surprised the Mach 4 were as cool as they sounded like they may have been.
And the Beatles set. Don't forget they did a Beatles set.
But wouldn't that be the best way to make song not cool anymore if your parents love it? They want to listen to it, too.
I thought my dad's band was cool. I really did.
I don't think I wanted my parents liking what I liked. That would have bummed me out. What was in the Beatles set?
Hard Day's Night and,
So it was mid-60s.
Yeah.
Not the later stuff, not Come Together.
Oh, no, hell no, no, not that. let's see. I think they just did Hard Day's Night, and I Want to Hold Your Hand. And
nothing like Hey, You've Got to Hide Your Love Away, nothing cool.
No. And they did like... There they are.
Bad Boy, it's Maz's favorite Beatles song, an unoriginal. Wait, no, that's a cover. Who is that?
Oh, it's them.
Them.
No, it's not.
It looks
God
just like them.
God damn it. Oh, you two, they don't look like them either.
I think they look exactly
like
them.
They have a left-handed bass player.
Yeah.
I don't see them. I don't see a bass player.
They do. They have a left...
Are you fucking kidding me?
He's the shy one.
Right here.
Yeah, he looks a little bit like Paul.
They look exactly like him.
Just like George.
Look at the Ringo look alike.
He holds his guitar like George does.
What is it like to be in one of those bands where, do you tour the country and chicks throw themselves at you still?
Yeah.
You have to wonder about that. I bet you they do get laid occasionally.
That's crazy. Oh, I think he did Penny Lane, too.
This is him.
Well, that's a Mach 4?
What's that face?
Mach 5? Wait, Mach 5 or Mach 4? I can never
Mach 4.
Get
Mach
4.
Mach 4.
Sorry. Jeez.
No, that's...
The Mach 4 is heavy on the bass.
Oh,
Mark's knock it off with this guy. God damn it. I didn't even notice.
How could you not notice? Because
I'm getting so used to it. Everything played on this show has a bass over it.
I'm obsessed with bass covers on YouTube.
What is Brandon watching?
It's been a long day's night.
Why are you on YouTube? How many views?
Yeah. 3,000.
Thank you for the thumbs down. I saw that. How many thumbs down does he have?
Two now.
And how many thumbs up?
44.
Out of 3,000? He's not making much of an impression.
That's pretty good. You didn't want anything with bass.
Dying barbershop quartet.
I finally understand why some 20-year-olds just hate the Beatles. They just won't go away.
Uh-huh. I like the acapella.
Okay, we have a screen divided into 9 parts of the same person singing different things.
See, here's Paul.
There's Paul's band.
Here's Ringo.
They had three people singing on this song, not nine.
But he's playing the instruments with his mouth, too.
Oh, boom, okay.
Boom, boom, boom. Healthy if you can, feed it down. Mouth bass. Nice.
I want him thumbs down immediately.
Yeah! He's got 51,000 views.
Oh, please.
Except for rice in a church or a wedding at me. It's in a dream. Waits at the window. Wearing a face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All
what? What? Knock it off. How many thumbs up?
Four.
How many thumbs up?
27.
Ah, that
how many
sucks.
Views?
2,700.
Really? There are really that many people who have nothing to do? I mean, honestly. It's horrible. People are spending too much time online.
You're right.
Way too much. God, I spend a lot of time online.
They should spend more time with us, other than that turd.
That'd be nice.
From the guy who had six viral videos that we had to watch today.
Oh, wait, here's one more. Hang on. Let's watch this dude. Let's see.
I know. There was a rash of you today.
There's a guy busking in the subway.
You know what the ultimate viral Beatle video is?
Oh, he speaks English.
Have you seen the viral video of the two black guys busking, singing the Beatles? And I think it's in the UK.
No.
Yeah.
Gazillion views. They actually sound very good, but yeah. I think it's because they're two black guys. Like, what are these two black 20-year-olds doing singing the Beatles?
Love you every day, girl.
They like bass, too.
One thing I can say, girl.
607,000 views. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, did they make any money for 600,000 views on YouTube?
Well, they were on Ellen, right?
Oh, they were.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, okay. So I'm sure they did the rounds.
Boy, Ellen, she sure likes those viral videos.
That's her gig now, is she's the first person to get the viral people on television.
What is this?
Oh, we've listened to these guys before. Let it be. Pretty good.
Too many people talking, too many people singing.
Oh, the skipper did pretty good.
Man. Oh, boy.
You want to hear some breaking reality TV news?
Always.
From TMZ.
Of course.
The people that produce Teen Mom knows what sells, and they've added a new person. They've added Bristol Palin to Teen Mom.
Oh. What? Wait, she's not a teen.
No, Bristol Palin like has 30? To make more money.
She'd be kind of boring, though, wouldn't she, Bristol
she's
Palin?
She's not going to give anything up.
She's already been, yeah, she's not a, I mean, she's a disaster, but she's not a Teen Mom level disaster.
Is she a triple baby mama, three baby daddies?
Yes. No.
I don't know.
I think
the second, the youngest
yeah, she
two.
She got back with Dakota.
I think the youngest two are the same father.
At least she
married. No, she had three kids by two daddies?
Yeah.
I think so.
Because I was.
Levi and Dakota.
I may have even prayed for a third baby daddy. I don't know why. I don't know why that would be so meaningful to me that she has a third baby daddy.
What's that? What is weird names?
Yeah.
Is that where there is? I don't know where Levi and Dakota are from. Well, Levi's from there, right?
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Well, he turned out to be.
He was 12 when he knocked her up.
Yeah. And they tried to hide it.
She's 27.
She looks good in that.
How's she on
she's,
Teen
I think
Mom?
She's, I think
I've
she's
always
hot.
Thought she's kind of cute.
I think she's really
she's not
cute.
A teen.
I have to admit, I think Sarah Palin's really very pretty. I know
you're
she's
hot for her. You've been hot for her.
I have.
Years.
I always thought she was pretty. I don't know what it is. Maybe I like Tina Fey. I'll take her.
Tina Fey's all yours too.
I like Tina Fey.
Remember when she made you jizz your pants?
No.
Which one?
Both together.
Oh, together?
A double jizzer. I disqualify myself because I've done them both.
Hey, those two together. All right. Jeez. Mark Santia, so was that guy saying we can talk to him?
He's saying that he's probably going to be busy until Monday.
Oh, fake.
Sorry.
Jeez, how busy.
Santia's lefty train is rearview mirror.
I was very curious about...
No, Santia's really geeked about doing that, so I think he's...
Cool. Yeah, that's part of what a genius letdown it is. Hey, did you know Johnny Depp finished his lawsuit?
Yeah, it was settled.
I didn't know that.
I didn't really get the... I didn't get a good impression for what the settlement was like. Like, did Johnny Depp get some money?
Oh, I thought he had to pay them.
I really wasn't sure. I mean, that makes me feel good if he did, because I thought the whole thing was ridiculous. He's ridiculous.
The actor filed a motion to exclude evidence about drug and alcohol use.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Claiming such details were irrelevant and intended to smear him. Depp hasn't been embroiled in a legal battle. Because I thought why would he get money?
He was suing them for $25 million.
Okay, yeah, that's this one then.
Money.
Yeah.
They loaned money to his sister, and you know, as if they really got off on loaning money to his sister. That did them some good.
He wears hats with do-rags underneath.
Of course he does.
God, he's so weird.
Oh, I know. I noticed that latest picture. He's really... You can see the mental health issue exacerbating because how many things he puts on.
I think whatever he got was less because... It sounded like the defense was planning on having doctors testify about his drug use and his drinking and memory loss, which would probably hurt any of his future income.
Hey, Mark, you know the story? You handed me a story about Harvey Steinberg, Kellen Winslow Jr.'s lawyer.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Winning cases.
He had the do-over, the remake.
This thing made me ill when I read it, because first of all, he... obviously has something to do with this makeover that Kellen Winslow Jr.'s had, where he shaved off his beard, he got new glasses, and he looks very different.
He looks like a totally
genius,
different person.
Genius, genius.
He looks like a nerd. They're having trouble identifying him now, which I think is, why wouldn't they say, look, if this guy has a beard, and this guy, who we think did it, used to have a beard, wouldn't they put a beard on him before they
take those glasses off and make his hair longer?
Yeah.
They should.
I don't understand. I don't know. The law is such bullshit sometimes. But this case, Steinberg has won multiple cases for NFL players. One of them.
Great lawyer.
I guess he is, if that's great. Former Broncos cornerback Parrish Cox faced two charges of felony sexual assault. He was found not guilty by a jury. Cox denied having sex with his accuser in interviews with police, but DNA evidence matched him to the pregnancy his accuser ultimately aborted.
Oh, boy.
Steinberg alleged that Cox had lied but said he was not a rapist. Oh, well, that's interesting. Steinberg successfully cast doubt among the jury on whether or not the sex was consensual, in part by casting a spotlight on her alcohol consumption habits. Oh, isn't that nice?
Classy.
So the guy's defense against the sexual assault was that, I've never had sex with her. Then they say, oh, by the way, she's pregnant and we're going to get DNA.
Well, just that one time.
Yes, she did.
And it was consensual.
And the jury bought that she was a drunk, and therefore he's not guilty.
That is, what's wrong with that jury?
I'm sure he's a good lawyer.
What does it matter that she's a drunk?
It doesn't.
This is kangaroo court.
It's just what's wrong with that jury.
The Brandon Marshall domestic violence.
Next case.
He defended against domestic violence allegation on multiple occasions.
Which one? Which one's this one?
The same attorney.
Oh, okay. No, I know what character, what...
Well... In 2009, Brandon Marshall caused injury to his ex-girlfriend by hitting her in the mouth and grabbing her throat in an earlier incident. They had photo evidence of this and other previous altercations. Steinberg argued that it was his ex-girlfriend who was volatile and the aggressor and accused her of having untoward motives. This is Brandon Marshall, who is about as volatile as the day is long. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She needs Mr. Marshall. She needs him in her life because she had these dreams and cannot let go, Steinberg said in his closing argument. When is she going to leave him alone?
When is she going to leave him alone?
Unbelievable. In 2016, Marshall was found not liable for accusations. He punched a woman in the face outside a New York nightclub in 2012. Steinberg contended she was punched by another woman. Marshall knew he never touched or punched her, and he was not going to pay a penny to get out of this, as he knew he didn't do anything wrong. Well, he hired Steinberg. That cost him a lot.
Wow.
Are you ready for some football?
Nice.
Bill Romanowski was acquitted in 2001
defendant Romo.
On charges he used prescription pills intended for his wife. During the trial, Steinberg successfully convinced the judge that the prosecution could not use statements the Romanowskis made to investigators because the DEA had illegally entered their house without a without consent or a warrant. In 2007, he successfully prevented Travis Henry from getting suspended for a year for marijuana.
Great father.
Using a secondhand smoke defense. Ah, ha, ha, ha.
What?
Well, he wins all these, though.
I know.
Hey, isn't Romanowski, isn't he another guy that spits in adult faces?
Yep. Well, he spits at players on the field.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he did?
I'm your fucking lawyer, and you're fucking going home. Fuck nothing.
Hope you got a big boner, Steinberg, getting these guilty guys on.
Great lawyer.
Chris Chelios.
A ton of money.
Chris Chelios is leaving Detroit. That was bad news today.
Wait, is there still going to be a Chelios?
I don't know.
That's a great question.
I texted Shelly. This is weird. This is one of these weird things where I wasn't sure how to take this. Okay.
Did he say new phone? Who dis?
Yeah.
No. Hey, Shelly. It's you Drew. Up? It's Drew from Drew and Mike. Sorry to hear you're leaving Detroit. Thanks for everything. Best wishes always. We'd love to talk to you for 10 or 15 minutes. We record from 4:30 till 7:30 p.m. EST. If you're busy, no sweat. He responds, thank you. Next week, having anxiety attacks. Not really, but thanks. It seems like kind of a no.
So next week, he's saying.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah.
Hit him up next week.
I thought he meant next week he was having anxiety attacks.
Oh, he's planning his anxiety attacks?
I don't know.
Scheduling them. It's good.
It'd be a lot easier if you had anxiety.
Wouldn't it?
To schedule them out. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Hell yes. That's no, cool. Next week, because he just ran it all together.
Oh, he's just such a good guy.
He's
really,
the nicest.
Really. The coolest, coolest guy. And he's such a badass, too.
Oh, my God. And not an ounce of fat anywhere on that body.
No, that, too. I know. He's one of those guys that you go, God, wouldn't it be nice to be Chris Chelios for a couple days? Wouldn't it be nice?
Well, yeah, until you have to get in the sauna and ride that bike.
I know, but he doesn't mind. He's such a badass. He can do anything.
Yeah.
He played in the NHL. He was 48 years old.
Wow.
But he loved Chicago, and his family's back. I think some family's back there. His mother, I think, is having some issues. His father died last year. So he's just that kind of guy, the ultimate badass. Everyone reveres him for his tough play in the NHL, but the kind of guy who would take care of his mother, too.
Aww.
So, plus, his kids had graduated, so
right.
Why not move?
Did any of his kids get anywhere in hockey?
Well, he's still got a son that's in the Wings organization. In fact, I ran into him when I think both of his kids were doing the Red Wings prospect camp, not the training camp, but the prospect, which goes on in the summertime up in Traverse City. I ran into him at like 3 in the morning at some cafe, and it was completely packed. Every seat was taken, and I ran to the bathroom, and me and a buddy had a four-seater, and Chelios comes up to my buddy and says, hey, do you mind if I sit down here kind of with you guys? There's no other seats. My buddy goes, no, dude, these are taken. So I come out of the bathroom, and I was like, wait, why is Chris Chelios walking away from our table? And he wanted to sit down here. I told him no. I'm going to go get him. And I walked up to him. Within that 5 seconds, I forgot what I went up to him for. And I said, you're an inspiration.
You're an inspiration?
Yeah, and I walked away like an idiot.
Oh.
So hammered.
Wow. Oh, about you, sweetheart.
I just totally made Chris Chelios leaving Detroit about me.
Right on. So many missed opportunities. Man on the street, Chris Chelios.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, what do you get, stage fright? You freeze up?
Yeah, in fact, I do. Or what happens is I get into situations and then my mind kind of switches and I forget what I'm there for and I totally fuck
it. Well, Chris Chelios is, he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. He's about as beloved as almost anybody in the hockey world. He's such a cool
He's still
guy.
A regular guy.
Yeah. He's a very regular guy.
And an inspiration.
And chicks love him.
Yes.
Oh, my God, the chicks dig him.
Well, what's not to love?
No, what's not to love, exactly.
Richie Sambora, I think, has taken a step towards being a very more lovable man.
What now?
And he's broken a silence.
Oh, really? About time.
Finally.
And
wait, is this because David Spade broke his silence about Heather?
Oh,
this is a contest about breaking silence about Heather Locklear.
Yeah, I think it is.
It is.
Who's in third place? That would be Tommy Lee.
No, he's not going to break his silence.
No, he doesn't even remember her.
Well, he got all huffy about Howard saying.
He sent her a cameo.
Oh, no doubt.
Hey, Heather, it's your boy Tommy Lee.
All he does is move the camera around.
He doesn't even know it's for her. Somebody
fucked up.
Bought
I got
it.
At the wedding.
Somebody bought it.
His wife's in the background going,
that's for Heather.
We should buy one and then put it on the internet and claim that he made it for Heather Locklear.
That's a funny idea.
He's assembled a team of doctors and specialists to make to take care of her.
All Sam right. Boring has?
Well, Sam Boring.
I think Sam Boring's got a daughter with her.
Yeah, Ava, the hot.
Yeah,
the
hottie. Hot.
Oh, she is hot. Anything for the hot daughter.
Well, I think that's... I've been waiting for somebody to
My
do
hot
that.
Daughter needs a team of people to help her mother.
Stat. She looks like Anna Kournikova.
I've been waiting for somebody to do that because I think Heather Locklear is, you know, I mean, she seems
she's
like
an important natural resource. She is.
She's a mean drunk, obviously.
I know
but
she's
needs
a
some
really,
kind of help.
I know it's God. That's this story is really strange to me. I hate to act like I know people I don't know, but you know, I'd always read about what a nice person Heather Locklear was. You know, you'd think she'd be a bitch. You'd think she'd be, you know, always the hottest.
She plays one, yeah.
And she played one very well. She was never a great actor.
No.
She was a good-looking girl, and she pulled it off in a campy way, I felt.
Right.
Which was within her skill set.
All-American-looking.
So when she started having some problems, which probably were on 2006, 7, I think she got pulled over, and it was like, oh, she's on something, we don't know what, and I think she was arrested. Yeah, it was under the influence of something thing. I thought, oh, that's... God, I don't expect that out of her. She just seemed very... In spite of her rock star choices, which were a little weird. I mean, Tommy Lee obviously would be a tough guy to be married to. Sam Boris seems more normal, doesn't he?
Yeah. No,
she is
like
a star.
Really...
She's a huge star. I mean,
they seemed like they had a very stable relationship, of course, until it fell apart. But
when she went off the rails, did that start with, okay, wait, when she and Sam Boris separated, didn't he start banging
the neighbor?
Was Sheen's
friends?
Ex. Was it Sheen's ex?
Oh.
Wild Things?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
Sheen's second wife.
Denise Richards?
Denise Richards, yeah.
Denise
and Richards. Heather seemed
Were really... they friends and neighbors?
Yeah, too? They were friends. Yeah. They were friends.
That's right.
That seems like maybe things went a little south there.
Yeah.
Around that time.
Yep.
But I would never have expected Heather Locklear to fall this far off the edge. Just didn't she not seem like the type that would never fall far? I mean, it can happen to anybody, I suppose.
I don't know. She seems like she picks bad dudes. That's a bad indicator.
You're right.
Except for Spade.
Jack Wagner, bad choice.
Jack Wagner, right.
Wait, bad choice.
For real? She was with...
She was.
Really? Dr. Yeah. Peter Burns?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Dr. Peter Burns.
That was his name, wasn't it? On Mel
Yes. Yes. Burns. And also the author of one of the worst big hits songs
what?
Ever.
Let you in. No, it wasn't let you in. I'll look it up.
It's terrible. Oh my God, is it bad? I'll find it.
All I Need?
Yes. All I Need. It's a real sack of shit song.
Oh boy.
I bet Maz loves it.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Should we call him and find out? I think you're right.
Depends when the song was released.
84.
Right around the time, he would love it.
Yeah.
He'd love anything.
Call him up.
Kissing you was not what I had planned.
God, how girly his voice sounds.
He was in General Hospital then, wasn't he?
Uh-huh.
See, I think Rick Springfield got the bad rap that because he was a teen idol, he had a hit record, but he actually had some chops.
Yeah. He was hot as
his asshole did not.
He got some REO Speedwagon sound to his vocals.
I think you're right.
Oh, here comes the big...
And I can't fight this feeling anymore.
I need...
Ugh. Oh, Maz, he loves this.
Yeah, I guarantee it. Why don't you pause it when you play it for Maz?
Hey, did you finish the Papa John's article?
Oh, you know, I did, yes.
Here's a printed version if you want it.
Okay.
I thought that was a great article.
Yeah, it's really...
Do you agree that you think that they actually found out about him using the N-word before that company dropped him?
I don't know what... I'm not sure.
Okay. That would make a little bit more sense.
Yeah, something.
I mean, that story.
Just I don't know why a company would sabotage themselves like that. That didn't make sense to me. Maybe it didn't happen that way.
But it sounds like it's Forbes, not Fortune, that was doing this, right?
Is that, that's yeah,
a,
Forbes.
Yeah, so Forbes was doing a story on Papa John, found out about the N-word, and tried to ask for comment to the people involved on the call. without, you know, before they printed this article. So they got ahead of it by just blowing them out.
I would think anybody on that call, though, would say that's absolutely not. This was a training session.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Well, someone leaked it to the to Ford.
That's like somebody in anger management showing their penis to people in the class. I mean, that should happen. What John Bobbitt did. Wasn't John Bobbitt in anger management showing his penis off to people? And he got thrown out of the class.
Number one characteristic.
How is that bad? It doesn't make people angry, does it?
No, I don't think people got angry at all.
Oh, there's a big article on Lorena in the, is it in Vanity Fair this month?
Yeah, there's been a lot written about her because the 25-year anniversary came and went.
Why does everybody, I mean, it seems like no one would want to know about her. I mean,
I agree. I know.
Based on that act.
I'm not interested, terribly interested in her. John's much more fascinating.
He really is.
He's the guy whose penis was off his body for like 6 hours. And it's back on his body, and you just have to wonder about him.
He separates. He's suffers some separation anxiety now.
I mean, 6 hours. It must have.
That's a long time.
A life of its own, possibly. Like for something, an organ to live outside of a body for 6 hours.
It's really It's quite.
It's scientifically.
There aren't many things more frightening.
Here's the title from Vanity Fair: Lorena Bobbitt's American Dream, and then it says Lorena and John Wayne Bobbitt made tabloid headlines 25 years ago. As a marital nightmare turned castration punchline.
No, Maz? No?
Though their paths have diverged, advocacy worked for her. Franken penis for him.
that was the name of the porn film.
Yeah. It's italicized. I'll read it and see if there's anything worthwhile in here.
Okay. John Shatner, who really got pounded yesterday by Cindy, the colonel's great-granddaughter, mm-hmm. who, by the way, I got an email today. She was speaking to press today.
Oh, she was?
Yeah. And the email
I
was...
I like you, Cindy.
...was suggesting that we had spurred her to additional media activity.
Hopefully.
I think she was on MSNBC.
Hey. Well, it's clear MSNBC is listening to the podcast.
Yeah. Obviously, once again, I wonder if they ripped off.
Yeah, I wonder if they also played outtakes of the Colonel commercials.
Yeah.
And she cried again.
Oh, I hope she watched it before she did all the other interviews. So when someone else brings it up, she'll know.
Let's see. In July, Forbes learned that Shatner, the former Papa John's head, had used the N-word, made other controversial remarks in a conference call 2 months prior. Today News broke, he resigned based on interviews with 37 current and former Papa John's employees, including numerous executives and board members. Shatner's alleged behavior ranges from spying on his workers to sexually inappropriate conduct, which has resulted in at least two confidential settlements. To protect themselves, Shatner installed loyalists in the firm top ranks who enabled its bro culture, referred to later as its frat culture. That includes international president Tim Mahorn, a close friend of Shatner's from Jefferson High School, as well as current CEO Steve Ritchie, worked directly for Shatner for 3 years.
It is amazing that some of these guys that were in charge over there of a publicly traded company and their background is basically being friends with Papa John.
Yeah, I would certainly hope there's a little more to it than that, but sometimes not always the case.
Hey, if I had a big-ass company, I'd be surrounding myself with all my buddies. They'd all have
a publicly
jobs.
Traded
you might not have a big-ass company very long, but I like the idea. I mean, everybody likes to help their friends. I think it's better to hire your friends for lesser positions than this guy chose. But this was his way of controlling everything.
Yes.
All the executives were his buddies, so they looked the other way. Papa John's has effectively been a public company operated like it's privately owned. Under Ritchie's and Shatner's watch, multiple insiders describe a laundry list of transgressions. Female employees were mocked, asked if they were menstruating.
Ew.
I don't know if that was a regular event, but it
did
happen.
Excuse me for being a fucking businessman.
Are you asking your employees if they're menstruating? Well, unless... I bet you wasn't. Are you menstruating? It's probably like, what are you, on the rag?
Yeah, I'm a businessman. That's what I'm supposed to do.
I think you're right about that. Also, this is weird. Male executives made references to gangbangs and commented about whether women wanted to jump on the train. Are we talking about one quote of one person there, or is this a regular...
Hey, what if she was in gangbangs over the weekend?
I mean, that doesn't seem like a running joke in 2010, 12, 14. Does it? Gangbangs?
Hope you brought some condoms.
I don't know.
Do many people mention the word gangbangs?
Bang.
I mean, it's not, maybe at the bro culture there. I don't know. It just sounds like they're taking a couple of things and it's headlining the story, which, Maybe it makes for better reading.
Well, okay. I mean, that's just probably inappropriate, but there are two big things in there of non-disclosure settlements.
Well, that's big. Yeah. That, to me, that should be the headline. You know, there's some really funny quotes in here, like when he meets the one guy and his wife, and then he pulls him aside and says, "Hey, your wife's hot if she lost some weight."
What an asshole.
That is the rudest thing. That's just an ass. I mean, that's just
he's definitely guilty of being an asshole.
I think we are...
You need to get up off your fat ass and lose some of that goddamn weight.
I think in a lot of cases, people really want to identify people that as racists or... In a lot of cases, I think they're just assholes.
Why?
You know, like the Harvard girl?
Yeah.
Sidewalk
Susie?
Yeah. Sidewalk Susie, who, as it turns out, I missed the point because I didn't realize the other girl who was white had a biracial child, which made it a bigger story. But I think she was just a bitch.
Yeah.
I don't think she looked out the window and said, "Oh, what are they doing out there? Oh, a biracial child. Hey, you're making too much fucking noise. Where do you live?" I think she's the kind of Gladys Kravitz neighbor who thought, "I don't know about this girl. Does she live here? She's making a lot of noise in front of my place. I don't like that." And just went out and was being nosy and bitchy, and she probably is a bitch.
Making noise.
Nowadays, she should be rewarded for not calling the police.
Yeah, but she's still being divisive and can people...
She's being an asshole. There's assholes everywhere.
She lost her job yet? Everywhere. By the way, the Harvard chick, I figured Harvard would blow her up. Oh, wait.
She
wouldn't
Harvard?
Have tenure, though. She was employed.
No, she's just an employee.
Yeah, I bet she's blown up. Since 2013, corporate employees have signed non-disclosure agreements, barring from discussing Shatner's personal life.
That's weird.
Yeah, I think the reason for that is it sounds like the execs at Papa John's brought mistresses to the Super Bowl and places like that. It was a guy's weekend. And then all the mistresses show up.
Yeah.
It's so no narc. Set in Game of Thrones times? I mean, who are these people?
You know,
corporate America?
I heard of one instance where someone did that with a group of people I knew. It wasn't a Super Bowl. It was a concert in California, actually. And the whole group was kind of like, "This is weird." They were really creeped out.
Yeah.
Some high school buddies of mine. It was really
just
gross.
Trying to big stuff.
And you know, the people all knew each other, and it was like, it was just, I think that person was sort of excommunicated since, like, all the women were so bummed out. They knew what was going on. Everyone was trying to sort of act like nothing was going on, and it was very obvious.
How could you ever get back together again with the wife, possibly, if she was still in the picture? I mean, that would be awkward, right?
I think she was on the outs at the time, so it was a little... I guess if all the executives have mistresses, I guess it worked out nicely for
them. And
they
all have
John's.
That pizza money.
Money changed things. Shatner moved the firm into a luxurious new headquarters in Louisville.
I'm not about to eat arm pizza.
In the late 1990s, when he commissioned a fresco for one of its ceilings, he had his face painted into the plaster.
What a dick.
Now, that's funny. His own office was outfitted.
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
Pepperoni in New York.
Black marble and a fireplace in his office. He sometimes conducted meetings from his exercise bike.
Oh.
What a jackass.
I'm just so busy. I have to time manage by working out and having meetings.
Hey, I feel it. He probably can't water his lawn either.
I'm surprised. Why not have meetings while he's mowing his lawn, getting his exercise to work. He could have had meetings while he's mowing his lawn.
Yeah.
Because that's his only chance to get exercise.
By the way, Saturday your timer gets delivered. I'll bring it in Sunday for you.
In one case, I
bought him a timer.
He moved a scorned executive's parking spot to the very back of the garage. Shatner did. John had this tendency when he was done with you. He was done with you, said Donna Alcorn, who left Papa John's in 2010.
What's wrong with that? It's just being a boss.
Your money's on the dresser, baby. I'm done with you.
Chew.
One former exec says the married Shatner would disappear for days on work trips, stirring suspicion he was hooking up with girls. Hooking up. In 1999, a mobile phone rep named Leslie Workman filed a lawsuit alleging Shatner groped her after meeting her at a party in Louisville Park, proceeded to stalk her, then asked her boss to send her to Papa John's to discuss a phone contract. What a dick. Shatner denied the allegations, filed a counterclaim alleging she was trying to extort $5 million from him and Papa John's. Case ended with a confidential settlement. 2005.
Funny, too, knowing about the whole teabagging thing with Peyton Manning and how tight Peyton Manning and him were.
Oh, yeah.
kind of ruined Peyton Manning a little bit.
Wait, well, Schnatter ruined Peyton Manning?
Well, just in general.
The teabagger?
Just how close those two are.
You know, the horrible thing about the teabagging, well, okay, first of all, it's really, to do that is
I'm
so
sure Papa
stupid.
John thought it was hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure he did. But to a female trainer, that's there's only a few assholes who would dare to do something so obnoxious for a laugh. But then he trashed her for years afterwards, lied in multiple depositions.
So did Archie?
Yeah, Archie did too. No, that was a real nasty thing. They really were out to destroy that chick. It was like, no, you will not make this event come true. It didn't happen, and we're going to make sure that, although eventually she did win.
Yeah.
It was proven that it did happen.
There were witnesses.
She won anyway. She had a Hall of Fame nutsack.
There were multiple witnesses who lied for Peyton Manning because, oh my God, it's Peyton Manning, anything for Peyton. But after years of reflection, some of them felt really wrong about it and came out and said, no, he did do it. I saw it. And I think, was there a settlement with that chick? She was fired.
I don't
she lost
remember.
Her job lost at her Tennessee. Gig. It was a real shit deal.
I'm sure that's how the Mannings felt, though, Brandon. She's got a Hall of Fame nutsack. What else she need?
These nuts!
Let's see. You got all these other CEOs.
You know the part about the cock ring? The one guy's joke about the cock ring?
Yeah, this is just some really stupid verbiage.
Put crotch down where your nuts hang.
Let's see. After reclaiming CEO duties, he
some big testicles to pull this off, bro.
He attended the NCAA Final Four in Detroit. During the trip, there was an incident with a 24-year-old female Papa John's marketing employee that resulted in a second confidential settlement and the employee's swift departure.
Yeah.
Resources say knew of additional settlements between Shatner and women involving inappropriate conduct, though details could not be confirmed by publication time. A female employee says Shatner asked her about her bra size and whether she slept with her previous boss. And then he never let her pass in the hall without giving her a hug.
Ew. Ew, could you imagine having to hug your boss every time you pass him in the hall?
Especially that tool.
Everybody hug Drew every time you pass him in the hall.
No, don't. A male executive recalls going out to dinner with his wife, bumping into Shatner at the bar. Shatner told the executive, hey, you got a cute wife if she'd lose some weight.
Was she there? Was she right there?
No.
Okay. Well, at least he had that courtesy.
It's not clear, actually, the way it's written. A male executive recalls going out to dinner with his wife and bumping into Shatner at the bar. Shatner allegedly told the executive, so I guess he's talking to him, that he had a cute wife and she'd lose some weight. Shatner tapped a former executive.
Wouldn't you love to know how that guy responded?
I'm surprised a dude.
I'm in between sizes.
If that happened to me, if I was that guy, I would never disclose that because I wouldn't want my wife to hear that this guy said that because that would suck.
Yeah, well, but then no, honey, that was Bob over in accounting he was talking
he's not
to.
Mentioned.
Did you bang my wife?
He was the other person at that
if
dinner.
If your wife's fat, she's going to think it's her.
Yeah, well, how many people were at that dinner, too?
They're not very specific about it.
Well, at least he thought she was cute.
Tapped the former executive from Anthem and Church. Hey, I didn't think she was cute. Hey, if she works out.
Do we have a picture?
Maybe she started working out.
He got a former executive from Anthem Insurance to run Papa John's, his co-CEO in April 2012. The two former executives claim he got the job because he was one of Shatner's buddies. Shatner denies this. Thompson all disputes why he got the job, saying he had a pretty distinguished business career.
Oh.
Pretty distinguished sounds kind of shady. Yeah. He's pretty distinguished. Thompson brought a woman who was
He ran the insurance company that Papa John owned.
Yeah.
That was his distinguished business career.
Wait, that was health insurance, correct?
And he was a buddy.
I don't know.
Remember he said, yeah, it is. Remember he said he was going to cut off health insurance because Obama got elected?
Oh, yeah.
Back then?
Yeah.
And he owned a health insurance company?
Good memory.
Thompson brought a woman who's not his wife to company events, including the Super Bowl. That type of behavior would not just be allowable, but encouraged, one of the executives recalls. Thompson denies the incident. Shatner tells Sports.
It's not illegal. It's not against company policy. He shouldn't work for the company. It's shitty.
Shatner threw him under the bus, though, saying that, yeah, he did bring a mistress. That is true.
What an asshole.
Multiple sources say meetings were filled with profanity and inappropriate context. Richie, the CEO, then allegedly never intervened. These things would happen in meetings and conference rooms whenever. Steve would just laugh. He would just laugh, says an individual present. Conduct of Dustin Coutts, a longtime operations leader and close friend of O'Hearn's, is one example. O'Hearn's is a close friend of Shatner's, by the way. Three sources say in one instance he discussed porn with a junior female employee. In another, he showed inappropriate images to colleagues on his cell phone. And yet, does that not happen in almost
Pornhub?
Well, yeah, it happens at Channel 7.
Malcolm, I mean, Madden. Is it really worth mentioning in light of all the larger things? I mean, it just seems like a dumb thing.
Well, now they got to fill the article.
Wait, did somebody maybe they had show prep. Hey, look at this dick pic.
I think the story's too long. That's why I'm complaining. Because I've skipped a lot of it. This is a long article. And yet another, he asked a coworker if she was on her period after she disagreed with him. Couldn't they have said on the rag? Because we know he said, "What are you on the rag?
Were you ragging it?"
And he once asked a male colleague,
"Ah,
in front of a woman, whether his wedding ring was actually his cock ring."
So sick. Stupid.
What a mess.
This spring, Shatner feud with Brandon Roten, who was then Papa John's chief marketing officer, over efforts to reduce his presence, Shatner's presence in TV ads. Shatner bristled at the suggestion. Ooh. According to a source close to the company, personally hired a marketing agency to develop ads featuring him that would air in key markets. Roten was fired in May. As soon as he tried to remove John from these commercials, his goose was cooked.
I totally believe that.
Shatner participated in a conference call in May with a marketing firm, Laundry Service, in a role-playing exercise intended to avoid another public relations kerfuffle. During that call, when asked how he would distance himself from racists, Shatner made remarks he thought were simply practice. But the multiple individuals on the call found offensive, according to a source familiar with the situation. He downplayed his NFL snafu, saying that Colonel Sanders called blacks, the N-word, plural, yet never faced public backlash.
There's wrong. No African-American. Never mind.
He also made reference to his upbringing in Indiana, where he said people used to drag African-Americans from trucks in an apparent effort to illustrate his aversion to racism. Laundry Service quickly moved to cancel its contract with Papa John's, says a source with direct knowledge of the situation. Shatner says that Papa John's revoked the contract and that in both of these contexts, he was making a strong statement against racism.
I like to help minorities.
Minorities.
Except those closest to Shatner. He is still on the board, owns nearly 30% of shares, and has Richie O'Hearn and the rest in command. Even if he does back away, the relics of his culture remain. Shatner seems
relics of his culture. It's just a public pizza company.
He seems intent on retaining influence. He pays for his office space at Papa John's headquarters, which began
as
a way to
keep interesting, though.
Private staff on site.
Did they paint over the mural of himself?
Dude, his house is so tits.
Please do. Company's attempting to terminate the agreement, but Shatner's reps say it has no grounds. On July 12th, the day after he resigned, Shatner showed up to work as usual.
Wow, that's his dig.
Dude, his
where's
house
his crib? Let me
so
see his crib.
Tits. It's in Louisville. It's got a lake. It's got a golf course in the backyard.
Who needs 40,000 square feet?
40,000 square feet. It's
Shatner!
So big.
How many people live there?
I don't know. He's got a second house over here, you know.
They should have the lake in the shape of his head.
Or his dick. Balls and Shaft Lake.
With, like, they could have, you know, docks and stuff and I don't know, buoys maybe, making out his nose and his face. Oh, yeah. Do that?
That's true.
That'd be cool.
Do that.
That's pretty sweet, but God.
Awesome. Boat he's got across a grotto. His face.
He's got a grotto.
Of course he has a grotto.
Looks like you can go underneath that thing like Hefner's. God,
that is a big-ass house.
Wow.
What's the second house?
It's just probably
guest house?
Yeah, guest house.
Sweet.
Or a garage. Because,
I just live in the guest house. It's, fuck the big house. Mm-hmm. Guest house looks pretty cool.
Guest house is bigger than my house.
Damn. Mm.
There's more breaking news. Celebrity death. Celebrity death.
What?
The inspiration of Good Morning Vietnam died.
Adrian Cronauer died?
Yeah. 79.
Wow. My Viet fucking now!
Hey, is he still in radio when he passed away?
Didn't we go through his career recently?
He really didn't. Radio was not. First of all, he was not a good radio personality. He was not that interesting. He was not crazy.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva
no,
Da Nang.
It's just you.
Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang.
Is this Cronauer or is this Robin Williams?
Hey, slow down.
For being that loud. Hey,
it's Robin
too
Williams.
Late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early. Speaking of early, how about that Cro-Magnon Marty Drywitz? Thank you, Marty, for silky it's smooth
slow down.
Sound. Make me sound like Peggy Lee. God. Freddie and the Dreamers.
So we're trying to get in?
Yeah.
I am
pizza
so
man.
Exhausted.
Oh, the pizza dude?
Speed.
Oh.
We've got it on the wrong speed.
Forrest Whitaker thinks he's hilarious.
Looks like Trudy got hungry.
And he got eight pizzas.
Trudy could not wait till the end of the show.
Sorry.
Oh, no, God, don't apologize. It's Zub's idea.
What's that dude's name?
Who? Adrian Cronauer?
Okay. Adrian Cronauer. I'm going to look him up. I'm going to do some research. I could have sworn that we talked to him or we did something at 105.1.
We tried to talk to him, but we went through some old tapes of his, the real Adrian Cronauer. They're quite not like Robin Williams at all.
No.
And I never...
Good.
I don't know why that movie annoyed me. I just didn't think it was that
funny. Was it
funny? No, I didn't think it was funny. You know what I did notice, though? Breaking news for me, Elaine, a second. How did I forget Rose running over Ray Fosse in 1970 and ruining his career?
Very memorable.
Yeah, it was. That was a great end. Jim Hickman had the hit, by the way.
Oh.
In extra innings, the Cub right fielder. So, Robin Williams, in the documentary, I told you in the first hour, I had a hard time finding a laugh.
Yeah.
They're showing his craziest stuff, all the stand-up, and I'm just going, I don't know if that's funny to me. Mm-hmm. I don't think it is. But in his later years, when he's making jokes about recovery and alcoholism, and he was not so manic, I thought he had some funny jokes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was some, I thought, significantly funnier to me.
So it was about himself at that point, and it made it a better.
When he wasn't acting.
I thought the jokes were better, and I just thought he was more, you know, he's still a little kooky, but I just thought early on he was talking in different voices. Like, why is he using that voice? Because people seem to think it was funny if he changed voices every 2 seconds, but yeah. I didn't really change the joke for me.
What was the one thing they had Elmer Fudd? He had Elmer Fudd doing something in the documentary. Oh, what was it? It was so stupid. And it wasn't funny. Like, but it's basically, I have a crazy voice, so...
Yeah. Well, the voice was good. I mean, his voices were pretty good, but I just didn't always find the material that funny. But I did like the later stuff. I don't know, it was really sad, the whole thing. I mean, documentaries...
Yeah.
It's hard for them not to be sad because the person's always dead. But that was... Didn't get much worse than... A comedian hanging himself at 63. Did we talk about the confusion over the second wife, by the way?
You and I talked about it off the air.
That's what I thought. That was always, I mean, to this day, I think most people who follow Robin Williams believe that he started banging his nanny and just like told the wife to get packing.
Yeah.
And the fact is, his wife was on there and said, no, that was the perception. Because I didn't talk to the media and correct it because I didn't talk to the media. I was a regular person. He and I had split up, and she was still the nanny. And after a significant amount of time, I think it was a year, maybe even more, she said at that point he got closer. She traveled with him. She was his assistant. Yeah. She started doing more for him. And I mean, that was I can't believe how accepted that was as fact.
Well, nobody disputed it.
And I'm surprised he never did. He never really said much about it.
Probably just wanted to move on.
Yeah.
And start banging her again.
By the way, in that movie, the guy who directed, I believe it was one-hour photo. What's the movie?
One-hour photo. That's one of
maybe it was one-hour photo. Anyway.
Is it in 3D? No, not interested.
They show this director, and I'm thinking, Mark Romanek. That name is so familiar. And I'm going, I think he went to my high school. I'm pretty sure he did. I think he was in my advisory class, which met every morning for 20 minutes for 4 years. I'm going, I know that name. So I look up, and I'm going, if he's born in 59, I'm going to die. Yep, born in 59.
Really?
I read his bio. Yep, went to New Trier High School. And he's known for making videos, and he did Easy direct videos. Some movies. But
I'm so happy I have you as my best friend.
How bizarre to see this guy in the Robin Williams documentary with this big beard, by the way. I just heard the name, though, and I just remembered the name. Like, probably from gym class.
He was in gym class with you?
Oh, so you remember him nude.
Yeah, you guys swam together.
I don't know if we swam nude with him.
Yeah, you totally did. He's the guy with the rubber band.
No, he was not the guy with the rubber band.
Are you sure?
Positive. I know. I'll never forget that name. You know what? They used to do life-saving in nude swimming. You have to do life-saving with a nude dude.
Hot.
Really? It's a creep that came up with
that. I just thought of that. I probably blocked that for 40 years.
Life-saving.
Yeah, life-saving. We have to pull the guy by the chin.
Mouth-to-bone resuscitation.
Probably. Probably have that sure still blocked. It's probably still blocked out.
Now, Drew, to make sure he's alive, make sure you get blood to the penis. Any way you can.
You lean your head back, arch your crotch in the air, and say, dinner is served.
Oh, the show is over. The
was
pizza's
that?
Being...
Yeah, it's David
Puella. No, the guy who was...
Inflation?
He was in special education, and David Puella discovered that he liked to stroke his penis, and he discovered it while we were all sitting on the benches being instructed in some swimming thing. And the coach
told, like the president.
The coach told him to knock it off, and he wouldn't stop. So he had to go over and pull his wrist. He had to pull
jerk
his
off.
Hand
yeah,
off.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh. And
oh my god!
Right at the moment of climax,
awkward. I will not soon forget that. The image has lasted 40 years, and it's still pretty strong.
It's actually been
and
pretty
by the
erotic,
way, Captain. This guy was hung big time.
Of course. That's how he discovered it. This thing with his hog was in the way.
This guy's wiener is, you know, huge, right?
I just picture everybody in the swim class just snickering going, oh my god, he's trying to pull his hand off his dick. Can't believe he tried to pull his
It was a mixture of laughter and awkwardness, but it got
he's
funny.
He's doing it again! He's doing it again!
As time went on, it got a lot funnier.
Oh, Maz is calling back. Oh, and I have a story queued up, too, because it's You're the Narc. It's a good story.
Oh, good.
Well, the dogs are suddenly very interested in the podcast because the pizza's out.
Tommy?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Maz.
What game are you at?
I'm not at a game. I'm here at work.
Fake!
How's the competition going?
It's a deadly, tough competition.
Are you in play?
Yeah, of course I'm in play.
The pizza's falling all over the place. Down. Sorry.
Our listeners wouldn't let us down. Come on now.
I didn't think so. What number are you on now?
I'm on 6.
Is number 7 sitting in front of you?
7 was sitting in front of me, but I have to find the right color for her. Her name is Jamie, and she was the sweetest girl, but I didn't have the color she needed.
What color does she need?
She sounds hot.
She was. Beautiful girl. Lightning blue she wants. Lightning blue.
Lightning
blue?
Is that hard to get?
Well, on this particular car, unfortunately it is. We're going to find it for her.
Okay.
Tommy, we got a song for you, and we need you to tell us whether or not you love this tune, because there's a lot of people in this room that believe that you really get down to this shit.
It's an old song. Really? It's old. It's from 1984. It was a huge hit, and I suspect that you're going to be excited to hear it.
What year?
I think it's from 84.
84.
84? Okay, 84. I was styling back then.
That's what I thought.
You're the only one I can think of. You're the only one I see.
Is that Rick?
No.
All I need is just a little more time.
Oh, yeah.
To be sure what
look
I feel.
Look at that yacht
is
rock.
It all in my mind?
You know this song?
You're the only thing, the only one that I need. I thought it was Rex.
You're all I need.
All I need by Jack Wagner.
Zach, that's right. Jack Wagner from General Hospital.
Were you guessing Rick Springfield at first?
No, I thought it was right away, Rex Smith.
Rex Smith, that's an English guy, right?
Yeah.
It sounded a little bit like Joey Scarborough.
Oh, Great American Hero?
Yeah, didn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
I bet
Maz likes that song.
That was a great song.
Great American, I knew it. I knew you'd love that song.
Tom, you just like it because of the Seinfeld reference.
Say it again?
You just like that song because of the Seinfeld reference.
What's the Seinfeld reference?
Oh!
Oh, you mean you're talking about the Greatest American Hero now. So
yeah.
Switching around. Yeah, of course.
Switching around.
It was George's answering machine.
Yep.
Wait, the song was?
Yeah, George put his own words to it. Search George's answering machine.
No.
Can we play the message? I want to hear it.
No.
Come on, no. It's
Come
really
on.
Fun.
All right.
Great.
Did you really know Jack Wagner, or are you just playing along now?
No, of course I knew Jack Wagner from General Hospital.
No, I know. Anything from like 75 to 84, Maz is going to know.
I got
easily.
It. That's my wheelhouse, man.
Who was his romantic interest on General Hospital?
Oh, no. That I couldn't tell you. That I couldn't tell you. I'm sorry, Trudy.
So I knew it was Luke.
Bobby? Was he into Bobby?
I only know Luke and Laura.
Luke's sister?
Oh. that.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep. I must be out before I pick up the phone. Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
George, pick up.
I
know you're screening for Alice.
How great is that?
What happens in that episode, Maz?
He was trying to avoid a girl's phone call. He didn't want her to break up with him. He knew she was breaking up, yet he wanted to take her to this big Yankee dance. It was a big ball.
He wanted to make an entrance.
He wanted to make a great entrance with her.
And who made the entrance with him?
He made the entrance with Kramer instead.
You gotta wait for the beep. You gotta leave your name. You gotta leave your number. Wait for the beep.
Whose message is that?
That's the famous wait for the beep. That one's old.
Sounds like Billy Crystal.
From The Family Guy.
Oh.
Nah, that one's...
But they sold that tape for real with different answering machine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maz, how did the girl dump him if he wasn't willing to take her call?
She dumped him through Kramer. Kramer became her spokesperson.
Oh, she called Kramer and had him dump?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because George would never pick up the phone. Everywhere he went, he would... Like, when she called his house... He knew that she was at work, so he called her house and leave a message there. Oh, I must have missed you. Allison was her name.
was
one of the best episodes.
Was there a second? Usually there's at least two storylines in a Seinfeld episode. Do you recall the second?
Of course there is. I don't recall the second one. I got to be honest.
Okay. That's pretty good, man.
Now, hang up the phone, all right? Because there's a lot of other guys at the gay bar who need to use it, all right?
What's going on?
How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. What's going on with the girls this weekend? There's got to be a game, right?
We're heading up to Frankenmuth tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Are you psyched for the ride?
Oh, I'm psyched. But, you know, I'm actually close this time because I'm leaving from Holly.
Oh, okay. You're going to work on this? Oh, it's Friday. That's right. I'm saying it was Saturday. Wow, that was crazy of me. So you're not coming within miles of Zod on Saturday, are you?
No.
No, he's going to be at the game.
Not at all.
Yeah.
He's going to be at the game.
I just, I know how busy it is on Saturday. I wouldn't want to be near there either.
No, of course not.
All right, Maz. Well, we just wanted to get your thoughts on Dr. Peter Burns.
I love when you guys call me. Thank you.
Hang up the phone, Nancy boy. Save your money for when you call 1-900-MAKE-OUT with a guy. Yeah.
It's pretty easy because if it's in that time zone, I know you're going to love it if it's a hit. So.
Yeah, if it's really soft.
Man.
Just want to verify. And it was soft, yeah. Maz likes those soft hits.
Whoa, let's stop talking with this guy.
It's easier for him to make out to.
You don't like Yacht Rock? Who doesn't like Yacht Rock?
Me, I know. Yacht no Criss Cross.
Ew.
I didn't know.
You don't like that in your 20 speaker stereo sound system?
Mm-hmm.
14 speaker.
From Star Lincoln, called Jimmy D.
Yep.
855.
I didn't even know what Yacht Rock was. I swear, I never heard that term before.
It's just soft rock. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's a real. Have you heard of Yacht Rock, Trudy?
No.
It's like soft rock hits.
Try it on your way home tonight. But
No.
On your way home.
No, I can't. I know I can't.
Joey will.
Don't do it.
Joey will
jump
out of the car at high speed.
It's terrible.
Hey, listen, our boy from Cameo wants you guys to join the site, and he'll send some promo codes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Maz. Have a good weekend.
You too, guys.
Good
Enjoy.
Luck with the contest.
Thanks.
Keep it up.
See ya.
We'll see ya.
I can't listen to Yacht Rock. Oh, I don't really know what it is.
It's soft rock.
Rolling Stone. I think it was Rolling Stone or somebody has the top.
I can't listen to
100 Yacht Rock songs.
Corporate rock.
I'm going to pull it up just for S&G.
Do you know what corporate rock is?
No,
did you ever hear that term?
I'm not sure what that is. Is that like Foreigner?
Yeah.
Who else is in the yacht rock or in the corporate rock?
Would be like REO, Foreigner, Journey. Let's see.
Criss Cross.
Ew.
Also known as arena rock.
Wait, I think we've discussed this because we looked up yacht rock songs and we found out that one of your favorite songs in the entire world that I've witnessed you singing along to is actually yacht rock.
What is it?
Which song? It's not Crisscross Sailing.
You love that song.
This one.
Not one of my favorite songs.
I've seen you singing along.
No. I completely hate the Doobie Brothers, but... Yeah, I think we went down this path.
Yeah, we did.
Because I did like a couple of their songs.
Oh, Starship, Boston, Toto, all of those.
Yeah, that makes sense. Starship. I saw Starship at Arts Beats and Eats. That was really
last
weird because Grace Slick. Yeah, I know Grace. No Grace Slick. It's some younger chick who looked pretty good, and Mickey Thomas was still there.
Oh boy,
this version's way better though.
Yeah.
Apparently, all you have to do is add a little extra bass to make yacht rock cool.
Hey, Blues Image, Ride Captain Ride. That's a good song. I'll take that on my yacht rock.
Butt rock.
Butt rock. Oh, Dance With Me, Orleans, Mass's favorite band.
Ugh.
Seals and Crofts, Summer Breeze.
Oh, that is the softest of all.
I know. Little River Band, Time for a Cool Change.
Ooh. People actually do listen to this stuff?
Yeah, I guess so.
We need soft cello.
Oh, that's right. Soft cello, really. That's really all yacht rock is.
Oh, Player. Oh, Player. Oh, my God.
What's that?
They did... They didn't list a Player song I was thinking of. What's Player's it? Baby Come Back. Baby Come Back. Baby Come Back.
God,
Kiss on My List. Hall & Oates. Toto, Rosanna.
Ugh.
Kenny Loggins. This Is It.
Yeah, a lot of Kenny Loggins and Steely Dan are in the yacht rock.
Steely Dan?
Steely Dan,
really?
That's horrifying.
That doesn't fit, does it?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, Peg, Hey 19.
Oh, this song definitely doesn't fit.
No way.
No way. This is not yacht rock. It's just rules.
Ooh, look at all these Eagles songs. I Can't Tell You Why, Best of My Love, Take It to the Limit, and Tequila Sunrise. Four of my least favorite Eagles songs. Chicago, Saturday in the Park. That's not a bad song. Steely Dan, Do It Again. This is Do It Again.
No,
it's ridiculous.
I was reeling in the ears.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Joe Jackson stepping out. Not happy about that.
Oh.
I like Joe Jackson. Pablo Cruz, What You Gonna Do? Donald Fagen, IGY. This part is half of Steely Dan. Al Stewart, Time Passages. Chris Cross, Arthur's Theme.
Ew.
Barbara Streisand and Barry Gibb, Guilty. Ugh.
Ooh. Tom loves Arthur's Theme, by the way.
I know he does. Al Stewart again, Year of the Cat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Year of the Cat.
The Year of the Cat.
Is Ricky Don't Lose That Number in there?
Yeah, it's on this list.
Is it really? It's not a terrible song.
Yacht Rock!
We shouldn't be on there, should it?
That's okay. No.
I think the pizza driver had a car accident.
Oh, I'm so livid about it.
But yeah, absolutely.
Don't you?
That happened to me once
this
when I was
not a Jordan delivery.
Basically, what had happened is all eight of these boxes have been flipped upside down a couple times. It's insane.
It's a disaster. All the good stuff is on the top of the box.
I know.
Max and Lilo don't seem to mind.
Zeus took pictures to complain.
Awesome.
Oh, this is awesome.
Jordan would be livid.
This is Kennedy's tune.
You do?
What, this Kennedy's theme?
Like, especially, well, maybe the bass cover. You really do like this song?
Oh, she knows.
I just know it.
This is essentially Killing Me Softly, isn't it?
I feel we're killing
the same song.
Killing the show softly.
This guy's getting down on the bass, though. Great.
Yay. There's a bass cover of this?
True, there's a bass cover of every song. I like when they make it their own.
Is there a piano cover of this piece of shit?
Not a cock, because I'm gay.
Of Arthur's Theme?
Yeah. I'm just curious. I mean, there's a bass cover of everything. It seems like there would be a piano cover or a lead guitar cover or a drum cover.
Hmm. Well, yeah, everything's a guitar cover online. All these how-tos? Sure. The drum ones they're not very good because you don't get good acoustics when you're recording in your bedroom.
Oh, that's true.
Well, remember that 8-year-old girl did really cool drum covers of Beatles songs.
Oh, my God.
Her name, Emily.
Alma?
Yeah, I've been sent about four of those.
Of what, Emily or
Emily?
Alma? Here's your piano cover.
This is one I really think the internet has gone over the line as a complete cesspool. What a shame.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on this weekend? Besides the Ann Arbor Art Fair.
Oh, charity golf outings. Very, very.
Oh, you're playing too. That's right.
Yeah.
So it's a shame that you can only get exercise mowing your lawn when you're in charity golf outings. Seems like you're walking a couple miles there. Is the crib been purchased in case?
Yeah, it could be this weekend.
Baby comes?
Yes, it's not assembled yet, though.
Hello. Oh, well, why aren't you doing that this weekend?
Things like eight.
Well, just skip Monday's show.
Thinking about it.
Maybe we could just come over and build your crib for you. You know,
be great. You guys should come over.
Bring it here and build it during the show.
We'll party down. We'll play some arcade games. And we'll hang out with Marcus.
Yeah. Oh, I want to hang out with Marcus.
Yeah.
How is Marcus? You can hang.
We're doing that.
What's the latest with Marcus?
Marcus is just—he's living the best life. His grass is green as shit.
Well, he must water it.
He does. He takes good care of everything around there. I love the guy.
Why do you have him water your lawn?
Because why would I be asking him to do things that I'm supposed to be doing?
You don't have time.
He would do it if I asked him, but I don't want to.
Well, pay him.
No.
Is Marcus retired?
Semi-retired. He retired from Ford, and he decided to have that second gig. You know, he's just like, I'll work a couple days at KFC. And that turned into him becoming a chicken master, if you remember that story.
Mm-hmm. Why wasn't he a pivotal source of information in the KFC controversy?
Yeah, he should have helped us with the accusations that the colonel was a racist.
I didn't talk to him about that.
Brandon doesn't like to mix business with pleasure. He's got a good work-life balance.
This is true.
Marcus is his personal life.
Now, we'll have to call him up
Marcus
sometime.
Marcus has been on the show, though. So.
Yeah, we'll have to call him up again sometime, because he's funny as hell. Every time I talk to him, he makes me laugh, and he's, I don't know, a lot of people that I've met said they want to hear more Marcus. So.
Yeah, he fired the place up for a while, no doubt.
I can't believe we didn't ask Tom about the Brady Bunch house being for sale.
Oh, that's right.
We're a little distracted at the moment.
Yeah. $1.9 million.
They say they're going to get every cent of that, too.
I thought they'd get more than that.
Because it's a Brady Bunch house? It gives a shit.
I know. But it's a big house.
I hope someone that has six kids buys it.
Isn't in a blended family.
Yeah.
Isn't it in a primo location, though, in California?
Are there maids' quarters?
North Hollywood.
Yeah.
Here's the story.
Wonder what's like inside.
A lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one in curls.
Boom, boom, boom.
It's the story of a man named Brady, who was busy with three boys of his own.
I know what Mark is looking for now.
If they were all alone, till the one day when the lady met this fellow.
Who's gay? Who's
and
gay?
They knew that it was much more than a hunt.
Oh no, a bass cover of the Brady Bunch theme? Are you kidding?
No.
Well, at least he's singing it.
Yeah!
All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one.
Come on, get a little crazy, dude.
You know,
story of a man named Brady, who was busy with three boys of his own. There were four men all together, yet they were all alone.
Comment underneath. Every song is the same exact bass line. You have to be kidding me. This guy puts out.
Do we ever run through these celebrity cameos on the Brady Bunch? Because I knew they had a lot of them, but I didn't realize it was this many. Imogene Coco, Joe Namath, Judy Landon, Ken Berry, Marsha Wallace, Marion Ross.
Who?
Paul Williams, Vincent Price. And William Corcoran, whatever the hell that is.
I knew like two people out of that.
I could never understand
Davy
why.
Davy Jones. What about Davy Jones?
No, that was a good one.
Hi, this is Michael Jackson.
This is Vincent Price.
Davy Jones was definitely on it. What kind of a fucking list is that? Jesus, I'm
I could
pissed.
Never understand why Paul Williams, why they tried to make him work.
Paul Williams, he's great.
He's a wonderful songwriter.
He's a total
drunk, Planet of the
too.
Apes.
He's a total Joey drunk. Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
He pops up in the most random movies.
I know. Wow.
He was a partier.
This Brady house is really dated.
Oof. Of course it is. Oh, it's probably stuck in the 70s.
Need some work?
Yeah.
Oh, Wes Parker from the Dodgers on there. Davy Jones, Don Drysdale, Jim Backus.
Oh.
Mr. Howell?
Mr. Magoo?
And Mr. Howell, too.
Yeah.
And
who's that dude?
Desi Arnaz Jr. All right, get us out of here, Brandon. We're really reaching now. Holy cripe. That pizza just brings an end to the show.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Especially a disaster.
I was ready
like
to be done.
This.
I know, that was possibly the biggest delivery disaster I've ever seen.
It's the worst. We should post those pictures, too.
We should call and find out how that driver is.
I wonder if there'll be a response, a corporate response.
Just massive accident.
All right.
Well, it wasn't the restaurant's fault, though. It was Grubhub's fault. Yeah.
Okay.
Shut up!
Be nice.
This show has devolved so badly.
I know. Eating pizza and yelling at a dog.
The dogs were so fired up when they smelled the pizza, and then they heard the closing music, and now they know the pizza and my time are going to come together to provide them with something. It should.
Oh, yeah. They got to figure it out.
It's easy, Layla. It's okay. Mag's kind of hanging back. So have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll, of course, catch you Monday.
Catch more crime on the Detroiters.
We'll catch you tomorrow on the Best Of.
And, oh, yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting. Got to find a sponsor for the Best Of. I don't know why it didn't occur to me sooner. But, yeah, thanks everybody. A lot of people have been using the Amazon portal for Prime Day, which is much appreciated. And all these new likes on Facebook, yeah, we used to have to ask for them. They just come now.
Yeah.
Zeus boosted a couple things on the page. I think it helped a lot.
That's nice.
So we're charging towards 16,000.
Cool.
And we love your reviews also on iTunes and Facebook. It helps dramatically in all the other platforms if they ask for them.
Right.
Please do. And have a great weekend. And we'll see ya. Thanks to Eli also for coming by today.
I'd like to talk to you about Garner Weish Furniture. It's sturdy and dependable and oh so fluffy. We here at Garner Weish understand the importance of comfort in an uncomfortable world. The economy in shambles, unemployment at an all-time high, and the chilling reality that we're living every moment in the bloodthirsty crosshairs of ISIS. Folks, I won't sugarcoat it. ISIS won't stop until every last one of us is pink mist in the wind.
Cut.